You're listening to the Talk Story Radio Network.
Welcome to another edition of Swoop's World, right here on the new Talk Story Radio Network. Swoop's World, where you get all you need to know about arts, culture, news, and happenings. Our number, if you want to give us a call tonight, is 562-912-3444. You can always email us at swoopsworld@gmail.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter. Once again, if you want to give us a call, that number is 562-912-3444. Now just sit back and enjoy another edition of Swoop's World on the new Talk Story Radio Network. Welcome to another edition of Swoop's World Late Night, Wednesday, September 4th, 2013. How's it going, Peter?
It's going all right.
Our guest tonight will be Mark Platt. How you doing, Mark?
Excellent.
Look forward to chatting with him, and he's got some new music out, and always a good time when Mark's in the house, so we're looking forward to that. How's your week been, Pete?
It's good, man. Yeah. Kids went back to school
today. I knew you were happy camper today, yeah. Man. You're big old shit-eating grin.
Yeah, got to go on a bike ride with our kids. Meaning I got to go full speed, so yeah. That's always a plus. And I got to go as far and as long and without hearing, are we there yet? How much longer? What are we going to do when we get there? So it was awesome. Even with this heat, it was awesome.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing, man.
So yeah, it was good. And then, you know, it was a short day, so they came home. So, but they were happy. Apparently, everybody's off to a good start here, and no drama or trauma on the first day, so that was good.
Good. Well, last week we had Pete Marchica in-house, and that was a good time, and I want to thank Pete for dropping in. Now, you weren't here Thursday, so Thursday, author Eric Davis called in.
That's right.
With his, to talk about his new book, The Fort. And you know, last time he called in was Good and Useful Hurt.
Yeah.
Exactly. And he was just as great as ever, man. Cool. The guy is a lot of fun.
Did you tell him how you ruined the book he gave you?
No, I didn't go into detail there. I didn't ruin it enough that I still couldn't read it, though. I was still able to finish it. Here's the thing. He's no longer doing any piercing. He's got a book deal. He's a full-time writer. Good and Useful Hurt and The Fort are being made into screenplays. He's got somebody who already wants to produce. And they're trying to get them all optioned off. So he's doing great, man. It was good to hear and good to see, people that we had a chance to talk to, you know, each time we talk to them, things are looking
moving on up.
So that was, that was fun. Well, you know, my week's been busy, man. I did a little car shopping.
Yeah. And Swoop's got a new ride.
The youngest has his first car, pretty much. And it's just been hot. It was hot, too hot to be doing that crap.
Yeah.
You know, I was looking, everywhere we went, it was just excruciatingly hot.
Yeah.
And getting it out of your car.
It's supposed to get hotter the next couple
around.
Days.
Yeah, well, now I'm not shopping, so yeah. I don't have to go out into the sun and drive around and all that kind of test driving stuff. But yeah, it's cool, man. T-Bone will be here in a little bit, I presume.
Presumably.
He should have some stories. He went to the river, right?
That's right. Well,
back. Maybe he's not back.
Maybe he's got some real stories. It'll
be just us doing football.
Maybe. That's the thing. That's why I know he'll be here. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's take our first break and listen to one from Mark that he sent me over today. You listen to Swoop's World on the Talk Story Radio Network, as well as AM 1670, Dewberry Jam Community Radio out of San Antonio, Texas. This one's called Last Train Ride to Glory, and we'll be back after this.
Trying to build a better country. He was trying to make some sense. It was a nation cut right down the middle. They put a bullet in his head. Just like his brother who died before him. Yeah, he never got the chance to prove. And for those who try to ignore him, cause they knew they could never fill his shoes. It was his last dream ride to glory. It was there to carry him home. It was his last dream ride to glory. It was there to carry him
Jacqueline.
Yes, Mom?
I wanted to talk to you about something, and... Oh, wait. Hold on. I just got a text.
Oh, wait, Mom. I just got a message. So many comments on my comment.
Hey, guys, check out my
new
video game.
Mom, what?
Huh?
Pew, pew. What'd you say?
This weekend, unplug. Getting closer to nature can get you closer to your family. To find the forest nearest you, go to discovertheforest.org.
Psst. Hey, over here. Behind the fence.
Huh? You? The bike?
Yeah, the bike. Here in the grass where the kids left me a while ago. Could you get the dust off my seat and remind the kids how fun I still am?
Okay. Oh, you are dusty.
I may need my spokes tightened, too. Let's go.
As Native American parents and caregivers, our encouragement to healthy lifestyles for our kids is helping them get outside and play. Get ideas. Get involved. Get going at letsmove.gov/Indian Country. Brought to you by USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk Story Radio Network.
Hey, this is Sean Paul on the wall, and you're listening to Soup's World.
And welcome back to Soup's World, where we're always interactive, live, and archive. Our guest tonight is singer-songwriter, outstanding musician Mark Platt. How you doing, Mark?
Excellent.
What's been happening since we last saw you? I know last time we talked to you, you were you just done the Nick Drake project, I believe.
Right. Nick Drake project, and actually, the couple of the songs from the Nick Drake project are found their way onto my new CD, new versions. In fact, I'm going to play one of them in a minute, and I really have enjoyed putting this new project, Brand New Day, together. The whole record, the whole CD is songs called contemporary folk songs. Songs about things that are going on in the country and in the world. Messages. Every song has a message. Like the song you just played, Last Train Ride to Glory, was written actually 25 years ago about Bobby Kennedy when they took his body back from the West Coast to the East Coast on the funeral train. and how all the kids and everybody were lined up along the railroad tracks all the way from the West Coast to the East Coast. Mm-hmm. And the song is called Last Train Ride to Glory. And I redid it. I got Don Teschner, who used to play the song with me 20 years ago, played fiddle. And Carrie Appel, who I was in here a couple months ago, who worked... I worked on her album with her. I begged her to come in and sing this one. She was a little nervous about it, but it worked out great. And, I'm really excited about this record, this project. I basically recorded 85% of it at home. And I bounced like crazy, like Sgt. Pepper's. And for people who don't know what bouncing is, it's like that's really old school recording. I have a digital 8-track, so I would record, use up the 8 tracks, mix it down, bounce it back, and then have 6 more tracks. I was doing that like they did Sgt. Pepper's, and it actually came out really cool, and I worked with a really great young producer named Matt Cabus, and he produced a couple of the tracks, and he's remixing some of it, and he's going to master it, and it's going to sound great. I'm really, really excited about it.
So much writing with and collaborating, and yet you're still able to put out a cohesive project every year since I've known you, mm-hmm. and still reaching back to some old songs and reworking them. What keeps you writing when you have so much to draw from, and how do you find time to work on your own projects when you do so much collaboration with other people?
It's interesting because I'm actually now even doing more. I'm doing music on demand, basically. So I'm doing these music cues, which are instrumental pieces that go on videos for a charity organization called Unite for Good. And like, so they do a lot of work with Clinton Global Initiative and different charities and stuff. So they have video makers going to India and all over the world shooting videos. And they're like, okay, Mark, we need something that sounds a little Middle Eastern. Oh, okay. So I went in and I did a 2-minute cue of what my version of Middle Eastern is. Throw a little sitars on there, whatever. And but they liked it. It worked. You know what I mean? It worked out really well. And then, and I have all these other... I've been building a library, and it's good because the money's really good, and I'm building this library. And today they sent me something literally at, 5 o'clock. Can you give us something that sounds like this? And it was like they gave me a link to a YouTube thing, and I listened to it, and it was a little funkier than normal, but sound editor, that's something that she wanted. So I literally, before I came here, spent 2 hours, put this cue together, finished it, mixed it, got it ready. I'm going to get it to him tomorrow, and it's funky like the other thing, and I did it in 2 hours, just really quick. So that comes from a skill set of being able to just, I've been doing music for so long, 35 years or whatever. I can, on demand, I think I can, under pressure, do what needs to be done.
Right.
And so collaboration's the same way. So I would get together maybe with Carrie in her living room, and I would just say, what's going on? Oh, my daughter and I had a big blowout. Oh, why don't we write a song about you as a mother? And then 2 hours later, we would have a song. And so, to me, I try to make the process easy. Songwriting's not difficult. I teach a songwriting class on Sunday nights, and I tell everyone in there, you walk in here and you're like pulling out your hair. And I songwriting is very simple if you know what you're writing about.
Right.
Because if you have a skill and craft, and you know how to put chords together and to put whatever it is that you need to do together. Then you just, if you know what you're writing about, the structure is really easy. Okay, write me the verse. And we'll sit there in my class. Okay, and then by the time we walk out, we have a verse and a chorus, and they can go home and finish the damn thing. Because they know what to do at that point. And once you're set on the right thing and you know what you're writing about, that's the answer to your question.
It's interesting she said that, because I've heard of people who said that they don't play an instrument, they don't really know how to play, or even a few chords and stuff, but yet they're good songwriters. How does that come about?
Well, let me give you the best example. One of the greatest American songwriters of all time, in my opinion, can't play a note on an instrument. Smokey Robinson. He cannot play guitar, cannot play keyboard. He can sing melody. He can create a melody. He can write an amazing lyric. You know, look at Tears of a Clown. The story behind that song is Stevie Wonder basically gave him the finished track. The whole thing. The whole track, done. Here, write a song to it. And Smokey wrote Tears of a Clown. If you know what you're writing about, Smokey probably, I'm guessing, I never heard him talk about this, but let's say you were to dissect what he was doing with Tears of a Clown, he probably said, Stevie Wonder is one of the greatest, you know, writers that we have, and I want to do right by him. Even though I discovered him, whatever, I want to write a lyric that matches that music that he gave me. That would be my guess, that that's how he was probably feeling around it. And, you know, if you look at the lyric of Tears of a Clown, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I know that song very well.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, just how he hides behind the mask, mm-hmm. and the whole, it's just an amazing lyric. So I just believe that if you know what you're writing about, it will flow. Even, let's say you know what you're writing about, and all of a sudden the music's not coming. This has happened to me lately. I've written like a full lyric, and then I would get a little frustrated because I don't have some music for it. Let it sit there for a day or two, a week, whatever. Let it sit. Let everything percolate. Or vice versa. You may have great music, and you don't really have a lyric, an idea, a message that goes with it. You know? It comes from inspiration. When I say inspiration, I mean inspiration where you can get into the flow in that moment of what's going on. You know, and then it happens. So most of the best stuff happens that way.
When you're working with somebody else, like you were saying, you work for Carrie, and there are a host of other people you've worked with, but when you're working with somebody else and you're trying to bring their vision to light, how are you able to pull out of them what needs to be done? For instance, they might have something that they want to talk about or sing about or whatever, but all they have is one word or maybe a subject. How do you get them to build upon that?
I am, one of my best skills in is collaboration. And you could give me, you can say, I want to write about my cat. Okay, and one of my students in my class actually wrote a song about an alley cat and how the cats all get together into the garbage, and so he did this whole thing about, you know, the cats are having a dance out in the alley in the trash, and then the guy comes out with the broom and tries to shoot, like this whole thing, and it's pretty cool how the cat slinks along the backyard gate. So I said, the cat slinks along the backyard, you know, and I make, and make it first person, make it from that cat's point of view. There's so many things that you can do. And the most, to me, the most important thing about music is point of view. What is the point of view? Who are you singing to? Who is the person singing the song? And who are they singing? Like Carrie, we have a song called Wish I'd Been There For You, which is a song about her being a mom to her two daughters. So I said, why don't we make it you singing to your two daughters? Okay. And then I come up with some music, and she came up with the first line, and I'm like, okay, now go. start writing. And then, you know, here, that's a good melody, Carrie. You know, a lot of writing is cheerleading.
Right.
Like, you know, I can, you know, give you the music, you know, and say, okay, write a melody to that. Okay. You know, so, okay, 6, 7, 8 syllables at most per line. I don't say words, syllables. Because if you notice, let's say, take a song like Brown Eyed Girl by Van Morrison. Hey, where did we go? Hey, where did we go? Days when the rains came. That's 5 syllables per line.
Yeah.
You know, every syllable has a note attached to it and has a message. And it's a brilliant song. I think Van Morrison may have been 17 when he wrote it. It's a brilliant song.
If you go to Maui, it's every bar down the front street, it's playing. Yeah. Some guy sitting there with his guitar playing Brown Eyed Girl.
Yeah, so that's what it's about. It's just about, know what you're writing about and get into the message. And when I say message, I mean, like, do you want... Envision yourself singing it to an audience. How do you want them to take it in? How do you want them to feel about what you're doing? That's all part of it.
When we talk about songs, and you talk about different genres, like, you know, like singer-songwriters, they usually tell a story. You talk about a lot of country western songs tell a story. Gets a lot to a lot of rock and roll songs, and people are singing songs that they don't even know the lyrics to, and sometimes they really, it's hard to, you know, ascertain the story within. Is there the same process going on, or is it, do you just do different genres, throw things out the window and do other things?
I personally have a standard for myself. One of my standards is I want to be proud of it 10 years from now. When I go back and listen to it. I play a lot of songs that I wrote 10 years ago, 15, 20 years ago. I have a song that I wrote in 1993 that I never released it on one of my CDs or records, but two other people have recorded it. And sometimes I pull it out and play it at a show, myself, my version. But I've never released it. So what I'm saying is, if you have a standard for yourself, you know, I don't want to knock anyone else, what anyone else does. I just know for myself, I want to have a message that you can track in the first 2 to 4 lines of the song. I want every listener to know what they're listening to in those first. And I tell my songwriting class, and I'm vigilant about it. I said, I need to know in those first 2 lines what this song is about. Well, otherwise, I'm going to tune out. And I will. Most people do. I'm sorry. Your friends and your family are paid to say how great you are. Okay? They're paid to pat you on the back. When you come into my class, if I don't know what are you singing about? What is this? You know, I did that the other night to this woman. I said, what is this about? And then by the time she left that night, she knew what that song was about because we did some surgery on it.
Yeah.
So those are my own internal rules. You know, I can't expect. But let me just tell you this: when people can't track what a song is about, that song doesn't have sea legs. It doesn't, you know, 6 months, a year from now, you don't ever hear from that artist again.
You know, I kind of disagree with you somewhat on that, because there are songs that people will sing and enjoy, and even if they know the lyrics, but they don't know the meaning of that song.
But it doesn't mean that that artist is going to be around 5 years from now. And I'll give you a good example of a song. I love the one that you're talking about, that I can, every time I hear it, I just go, I'm happy. Don't Fear the Reaper, Blue Oyster Cult.
Blue Oyster Cult?
I have no idea what that song is about. I know Romeo and Juliet are in it.
Together in Eternity?
Yeah, in Eternity. I know that, but I don't really know what the song's about. But it is one of those songs when you hear it, because it's got so many great hooks, and it's got all these things going on that's amazing in it. You know? So, but how many Blue Oyster Cult hits were there? One or two?
There's a couple. It's all the same album.
see what I'm saying?
But here's the thing.
I like Godzilla.
Godzilla.
That was a great song. Good song. And that one's, you know, right away, man. First line there.
No, I hear you.
Just like you were saying.
But you know what I mean? What I mean is a good craftsperson writer is able to deliver over decades. Mm-hmm. You know, someone who gets lucky with Achy Breaky Heart and that's it, and then has a kid that, you know, was Hannah Montana and has a reality show. I mean, that's another way you can make it in life, too. But what, besides Achy Breaky Heart, can you name one other Billy Ray Cyrus song?
No, but I don't think... I don't... No, they can't. But I don't think you have to because of the other things you said. Here's the thing. If his...
Well, I think what you're saying is so much of music, especially, has become... synonymous with celebrity. It's not necessarily music writing or songwriting. It's celebrity. It's like, I'm famous because I do all these other things.
What I'm saying as far as songwriting goes, there are some songs. There's a band that we talked about before. I love. They went in. They broke up eventually, but I loved them. But if you go back and listen to a couple of their songs, some of them do have you tell a story. But like Mr. Brownstone, Guns N' Roses, right? Mm-hmm. It's most people who listen to that don't realize what that song is about. Mm-hmm. But yet, it everybody, you know, people will love it. It's played a lot. It's made a lot of money. As opposed to a singer-songwriter who will sing a song about a broken heart or something like that and understand this is a love song. It's not about being hooked on heroin or anything like that. And it still moves along at the same, I don't know what you want to call it. It still has the same kind of success. And you're saying that you want to know what a song's about in the first line.
Well, okay, but I could break my own rule. Any Led Zeppelin song, and I love Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
You know, song remains the same. I don't understand those lyrics. I understand the song remains the same. I understand the concept of the title. You know, and what's a hedgerow? But I'm just saying. But I love Stairway to Heaven. It's like you can't. You know, been a long time since a rock and roll. I get that. I understand that. But for the most part,
a lot of love.
Yeah, but for the most part, you know, lyrically speaking, it was intriguing, but it was more of a backdrop to what was going on with Jimmy Page and what his part in the writing was. You know, because just, you know, Led Zeppelin was awesome, but my favorite band out of that whole thing was the band that spawned Led Zeppelin, which was the Yardbirds, you know, which was just straight blues rock.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite. My second favorite band of all time, besides the Beatles, is the Yardbirds, and Beach Boys are right. They're all, like, right there,
yeah.
1, 2, 3. So, you know, it's just a matter of, you know, and I always take in my songwriting class, I give some Beatles songs as a great example, like, of amazing writing at such a young age. Eleanor Rigby picks up the rice at a church where a wedding has been. Think about just, like, all the information's in that one line. That's a brilliant writing. And then Lennon tacking on at the beginning, "Ah, look at all the lonely people." Hand in hand, those guys were voted the two best songwriters of all time. You know, number one and two together.
So, you know, it's a type of craft where it's like novel writing or something like that. There are hundreds of thousands of people who write books. There's a select few who craft stories.
You mean like Salinger?
Yeah, you know, sometimes some people you'll read something and you'll say, "That is a beautifully written paragraph." Mm-hmm. How did you craft that? You're a wordsmith. And I guess the same songwriting is the same way. There are a lot of people, there are hundreds of thousands of people who write songs. But
can I play one? Let's play one from the new record. There are 8 lines in the whole song. It's called Brand New Day. It's a title song. And 2/3 of this song are instrumental. But I still think it works.
Mark Platt on Swoops World Late Night, live on Talk Story Radio, as well as AM 1670 Dewberry Jam Community Radio out of San Antonio, Texas. Brand New Day.
Thank you.
listening to Swoops on the Talk Story Network. Take a quick break, and we'll be back after... mouse died, man. There we go.
Hi, I'm LeVar Burton, and I'm proud to be a book person. How do I choose a book? Sometimes it's the cover, sometimes it's the title. I guess I'm pretty visual. If a book's really impressing me and the writing is really good, I will peek and see what the last paragraph is, because the endings of books should rock you. I am a book person, and if you're a book person too, read to a child and spark a lifetime of ambition. Join me at bookpeopleunite.org, because reading is fundamental. A public service announcement brought to you by Reading is Fundamental, Library of Congress, and the Ad Council.
For a little rock.
Now you can share the topics that drive the discussions of your favorite talk shows with TalkStream Live's topic-driven talk radio.
We gotta talk. Let's take a drive.
List and promote real-time talk radio topics, or post the topics that you want to hear. Hot topics are tweeted and retweeted, and include simple click-to-listen audio links. The future of talk radio is topic-driven talk radio.
That's what I call real drive.
Available now at TalkStreamLive.com.
Talk Story Radio.
Hi, my name is Brent Michelle. I'm a singer-songwriter based in Los Angeles. Why don't you sit back, grab a cold beer, and listen in, because you're listening to Swoop's World.
The world spins before my eyes. One wrong turn, I'm left behind. And so I hide under my skin till I can't stop.
Welcome back to Swoops World. We're live with Mark Collette on in studio here, and he's just released. Has it been released yet?
Nope.
October 1st. Soon to release his new album. He just played the title cut, Brand New Day. Tell us a little bit about this project.
So excited about it. I've done, I want to say, 5 or 6 CDs, and I've done a couple of vinyl records over there, just a lot of stuff. I'm probably more excited about this record than any record I've ever done, because I've done most of it at home. I did, you know, like I said, I did a lot of bouncing. I did on most of it on my digital 8-track, and then we put some of it on Pro Tools for the stuff that I did, and brought in Don Teschner, just an amazing multi-instrumentalist. He played mandolin on Brand New Day, and he played fiddle on Last Train Ride and several other tracks. And it was so interesting because there's a song that I sang you that I hope you get a chance to play called 9 Long Years. I was having trouble with that one. I recorded it, and like we listened down, and like, dude, that song's distorting. So what I did is I lowered the whole track, you know, when I mixed it, and then I recorded Don's. We did like 4 tracks of fiddle. And I made it sound really warm because I lowered all. I mean, it had all the, when you hear it, there's all these harmonies and just so much stuff on it. But when you hear it with the fiddles, it sounds amazing. And there's just a lot you can do. It's not the equipment. I learned this a long time. It's the guy behind the equipment.
Yeah.
And the love of like what, you know, getting into this, believing in what you're doing. To me, I think this whole record sounds like it. I think I'm more proud of this CD that's coming out than anything I've ever done.
Really?
By far. Yes.
And this is all solo?
All solo. I pretty much played everything except for a couple things where Matt Cabus, who produced Best in America and Greatest Prices, which is the next one I'm going to play, he played on that and sang some harmonies, but... And then Kerry Appel sang on Last Train Ride to Glory. And then pretty much this other guy, Kevin, sang on Best in America with us. I did everything else, though. So shakers, drums, bass, guitars, keyboards, everything. Love it. And it's a folk record. It's not... It's what I consider a contemporary folk record, which is kind of like a pop record with folk themes.
So what's the status of Platitudes? Are you doing anything?
Well, everybody's off so doing their other projects and stuff. Like, you know, Paul McCartney's doing great with Wicked Saints.
Yeah, they just have a new CD out there.
Yeah, so that like that's hot happening. So, like, we'll get together, probably play one show, maybe, you know, what are we in? Maybe by the end of this year, early next year, maybe we'll all get together and do a show.
Yeah.
It's fun. I love playing that material and stuff, and I love getting it. And I've gotten some new instruments.
Some new toys.
Oh, new toys. And I'm about to get another toy that I'm so excited about. I'm getting an Ibanez 12-string electric guitar that I can't wait to get. And I use all my stuff for recording and stuff for all these projects that I'm doing anyway. So nothing sits around for long without being used.
Now, some of our listeners may not know, you're an MTV star back in the 80s, right?
You saw that, huh, video. Okay, that's a funny story. So back in 1987, we did this video called Turn My World, My Old Band, The Real Impossibles, with the late, great Robbie McDonald on guitar. He's passed away since then. And we did this video for $500, basically. And it was this song called Turn My World. This is back in the day of VHS, right? We got this copy of a really cool documentary called Atomic Cafe, which is about nuclear disarmament and nuclear paranoia that came out in the 80s, and mid to early 80s. And we basically, like, stole all this footage from it. So I used to work in a law firm
back then. You sampled
it. Yeah, so we did sampling before sampling, right? So I called up the producers. I tracked them down. And this is in 1987, pre-cell phone, pre-internet, everything, basically. So I tracked down these producers, and they gave us permission to air it on MTV because MTV wanted to run it. They were going to put it, like, in rotation. And it's a cheesy kind of video, but it's actually kind of cool. The song is really cool. But we found a film student, like, he did it, and he shot a lot of Super 8 film that he put in there and all this stuff. You should put the link up on your webpage if you get a chance.
Yeah, I'll have to.
To Turn My World. Real Impossible's Turn My World. That's Real Impossible's, and the song's called Turn My World. And so if you go onto YouTube, you'll see Martha Quinn, like, announcing in the video. Remember her?
Yeah,
the
DJ? Sure. Yeah.
And then at the end, talking about Peter Case, who produced our record and all this stuff. It's a cool video. But the producers of that Atomic Cafe, this is what I'll never get, you can air it twice. So the basement tapes, the show, aired it, and then another show called 120 Minutes used to be on MTV. So it aired twice on MTV, but it lives forever on YouTube.
There you go. So,
that's the good news.
Well, we're going to play at Nine Long Years here. You're listening to Swoops Around on the Talk Show Radio Network. We're here with Mark Platt. Nine Long Years. You were just telling us a little bit about it. Why don't you give us a little bit of lead into it?
Don Teschner on fiddle. And I hear the bone. The bones walking.
Greek yogurt. You took the train. You wondered why people spend so much time reading celebrity blogs. You read a celebrity blog. You planned a workout. You skipped it. You did all the things that one normally does the day before a devastating earthquake shakes the community to the ground. You never know when the day before is the day before. Prepare for tomorrow at ready.gov/today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is John Ondrasik of Five for Fighting, here for RAD, the entertainment industry's voice for road safety. You know, style is a personal thing, and your lifestyle is your business. But if you take it on the road, it becomes everybody's business. So please, plan ahead, designate before you celebrate. Friends, don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
The views and opinions expressed by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Talk Story Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
This is Mean and Nasty, and I'm a Virgo.
Yo, Jay.
Gemini.
You're listening to Swoop's World Radio. Get with it, but get lost.
Very lost.
Swoop's World. Yeah, we in here. Got Mean sitting next to me. So this is how we do it. Listen.
Okay, vibe with me as I speak. You witnessing the legend. Black J, we reppin' 102 DIY to the depth. Ain't no crutches on me.
Welcome back to Swoop's World on the Talk Show Radio Network, as well as AM 1670 Dewberry Jam Community Radio, here with Mark Platt, and another live one from Mark.
All right, this song's called Greatest Price.
Sacrifice is a war that never ends.
Tons, man. So how many are in the new CD?
10.
Really?
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting. I was watching a back version of Brian Gumbel's show on HBO today, and it was a really interesting story about these warriors that came back home that were having PTSD. And the way that they work around it is they do MMA. So this one guy got himself out of his total suicidal funk by starting to work out doing MMA, and then all of a sudden, he lives in San Diego, all of a sudden all these other veterans in that area started gravitating towards him, and now he leads these classes, and all these guys that were suicidal, getting in fights at Starbucks, they had all these different stories on it, are turning it around, getting their aggression out in a really positive way. And
I'm not sure the other guy in the ring.
Yeah, and this song is actually kind of about the war that never ends for these guys.
Yeah.
And I just happened to see that show today, and it's just like reinforced it. Like, you know, these guys that fought in Iraq and Afghanistan and Vietnam and Korea, whatever, that war never seems to end for these people. And that's kind of what that song is about. So.
All of your songs on this CD, I know you said you brought a couple from the Nick Drake project, but are all of them, and you said a lot of them have some charity-based, you were talking about off-air.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about how the entire project came together.
I started writing song. I decided I wanted to write a folk album. Like, that song is definitely kind of a folky kind of song.
Right.
And I wanted to write with messages. So that one is one that will go towards a charity for wounded warriors and things like that. Brand New Day is one that has different positive messages for children, you know, the greater halls of learning. You know, there's those kind of lines in that song which promote, you know, things for positive aspects for kids, after school programs, things like that. Best in America, about the Boston Marathon bombing, obviously. That one is about the best.
That's the one that you did with the
Matt,
under KLP.
KLP, yes.
Right.
Matt Cabus, Kevin Lawrence, and I got together with Don Teschner, and we recorded the song, and the video got a bunch of YouTube hits, and you know and all the downloads, the money went towards the One Fund Boston project, which was to get limbs and stuff for the people that lost it. And I believe charity is like a huge part of the arts now. I just believe that, you know, the more you can put out there and give, it comes back at you 10 times more, you know, in different ways.
Right.
So that's what this record is about. You know, this charity thing that I'm getting involved with, that I'm doing cues and stuff, music cues for them. You know, they're going to help me with get the word message out about this record, and it's all good.
Cool. Well, we're trying to get about as much information we can get out, you know, at the time we have. Is there anything you want to talk about that we haven't had a chance to talk about? I know you have some gigs coming up. I know you got the websites and everything.
Yeah.
Tell everybody about what's happening.
Okay, October 19th at Jump Cut Cafe, 13203 Ventura Boulevard in Studio City.
Formerly the
Lulu's Beehive. It's now called Jump Cut Cafe. Going to do a show there with Paul Zolo, one of my buds, who is a great writer for American Songwriter magazine and wrote Tom Petty and Paul Simon biographies. And our good friend Carrie Wade, has she been in here? Carrie Wade.
Carrie's been in
here. Carrie's going to play that night. So you guys might want to pop down that night. It's going to be kind of fun. And then I'm going to have a CD release party for Brand New Day November 9th, Saturday night, starting at 8:30. Carrie Appel's going to play a set. And then I get the room the rest of the night. And I'm going to have special guests and all kinds of stuff. It's going to be fun. Saturday night, November 9th at Genghis Cohen on Fairfax near Melrose.
Exactly. So you got Jump Cup Cafe in October and Genghis Cohen in November.
That's it.
The website, anybody want to find your music or get a hold of you or contact you and all that kind of stuff? How do they do that?
Best way to get me is my Twitter is Platitudes, and my Facebook, there's a mark in the Platitudes Facebook page, is probably the best way to get me music stuff.
Excellent. Well, you want to play us into the final break?
Yeah, let's do the Trayvon Martin song. Song called No Damn Justice.
Mm-hmm.
folks send their kids out and hold their breath. Afraid of the phone, messenger of death, 'cause he's taken the law into his own hands. He decides who falls, he decides who stands, and there's no damn justice in this country tonight. The verdict came in black and white. The truth lost out without a fight. There's no damn justice in this country tonight. They don't keep a scorecard for battles lost and won. Armed with forgiveness, they throw down their guns. The night's on fire with fear and outrage. The people in charge, they wanna turn the page. 'Cause there's no damn justice in this country tonight. The verdict came in black and white. The truth lost out without a fight.
Swoops World Late Night. You can find them on, what did you say, Twitter?
Twitter, Platitudes, and Facebook, Mark and the Platitudes.
Mark and the Platitudes. Thanks for coming again, Mark. I know you're going to hang out here through sports and stuff like that. It's always great to see you. Check out Mark. He's going to be at the Jump Cup Cafe next month.
19th.
October 19th. And CD release party at Kingus Cohen November 9th. And give you a chance. Definitely check him out. He's outstanding live. Always have a great time hanging with Mark and going out to check him out and see him. We're going to take a quick break, come back and do some brewskis, and into T-Bone's timeout. This is Divinity Rocks. This is called Good Here. Back after this.
Dodgers still coming back.
It's the end of a decade, the start of an era. My mama named me Debbie, my teachers called me Deborah. God told me, girl, you existed from infinity. You ain't from this earth, they should call you divinity. And you can call me Miss Rocks. And you can eat a buckshot. I got more love than you haters got. And I love it that you hate it, 'cause I'm great. I am not a type for you, you a typo. Everybody around here psycho. When FICO can't cover it, I'ma smother it, hover it, over it, like a helicopter, optiplane, na-na-na-na-na-na-na. Call me Yandata, I am your nana. Holla, following that Garrett for 10. I see you around till we meet again. You don't know what to say. But behind that smile is a whole lot of tears, but the other way. And it happened oh so long ago. Through the years seem to go. How did to hear and it can't get no louder, can't get no fouler. I'm a wildflower, everybody around here sour. We need talking about the cowards. How is it that I'm amongst all these legends? Birds of a feather, when they flock together, I am the last of the wildest of children. Heaven must be in the building. I know you sense it, cause since this denied is existence. Excuse me, while I kiss the sky, the light I emit can't be like it. This funny tradition of love. Tell me why you so dumb, why you so hard, why you so callous. The balance is blown, and once we are grown, we will never be children again. We have lost all of our innocence. You don't know what to say. But behind that smile is a whole
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you. And your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the Internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live. Now available in the iTunes App Store.
And now we have an 8-year-old on the line. Welcome to Our World Today. What's your question?
Our continents make up 29% of the Earth's surface, meaning that 71% is comprised of water. Man automatically adapts to environmental conditions. So why do I need to take swimming lessons?
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. Brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
You're listening to the Talk Story Radio Network.
This is Carrie Wade, and you're listening to Swoop's World.
Is it a constant spin? I ask as I begin to once again feel unsettled in my skin.
It's time for Brewskies, our beer tasting segment right here at Swoop's World Late Night, sponsored by DrinksWineSpirits.com. So grab yourself a glass, pour yourself a brew, and join us right now for Brewskies, sponsored by DrinksWineSpirits.com.
All right, well, welcome to Brewskies. Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday.
And tonight we're going to drink one from Moylan's Brewery and Restaurant out of Novato, California.
Beautiful country.
Never been there. It's
it's north.
I know that much, and that's about all I know about it. North and inland, right? Isn't it? You know. Well, northern coastal is way different than north and inland, so there is a difference. Is it? Huh? There you have it. So here's what they have to say. It's the Moylan's Dark Secret Double Black IPA. So it's got the right kind of name there. I'm liking this. But here's what they have to say about their own brew. Richly crafted and assertively hopped, Moylan's Our Dark Secret is a black IPA like no other. Our version of International Spirit starts with especially selected barley malts from Europe and North America, but finishes with the finest hops from Down Under. The star of the show is a new crop of Victoria Secret hop flowers from Australia. Along with Stella, Galaxy, and Summer hops from the fields of Tasmania, you are in for collaboration of intercontinental proportions.
Wow.
8% alcohol. There you go. That's what we know about this brew.
Intercontinental
proportions. Yeah.
I hate doing this over your computer, dude.
Hmm.
I love it.
The Gatorade man.
I am the Gatorade.
I went first last time, so it's one of you
I
guys.
I think T-Bone's up.
Well, definitely some different hop varieties there. And that is the dominant theme of this beer.
This is hoppity hop hop.
Which is a fun thing. I'm kind of stuffed up and I can still smell this. Inches away from my mouth, I was still already getting an idea of what was going on here. I think it smells a little better than it tastes, but it still don't taste too bad. I like a good hop wallop. And this is more of a hop wallaby, I guess. but it's a fun one. This black IPA thing, it's still a head scratcher to me. It's still sort of an oxymoron.
It's one of those made up,
yeah,
you know,
categories.
Newly made categories.
Yeah, they just better not be putting any food coloring in it. That's all I have to say.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, it's easy enough to get this color with the right kind of barley. So
you just gotta toast it a little more.
Yeah, I mean, you put in basically.
They can still take pale malt and just.
They can still do the pale malt to get your higher end, but that's where you get like the chocolate or the black patent malts, which are the ones that give stouts their color and mouthfeel. Not necessarily, you know, not necessarily alcoholic content, but like mouthfeel, that big bite into something.
Yeah.
That's what those are. So it's easy enough to do. So there shouldn't be any.
There's not too much tomfoolery here. But yeah, it's It's a tasty beer. I don't know.
Well, you know what? As I was bringing it up to the lips here, got a big waft of fragrance in there, and it's got a lot of it's got a lot going on. It's very, very hoppy.
Very hoppy.
I like it. They say it's a double IPA.
Double IPA.
Yeah, which
that accounts for the 8% alcohol.
That's what that does there.
Yeah, that's usually some beers just call themselves imperial IPA. Sometimes double IPA. You know, again, kind of a made up thing because the imperial
the naming conventions are a little off.
Yeah, because the imperial usually traditionally meant like an imperial stout.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a high alcoholic stout. And so then they just kind of took that and slapped it on the IPA thing. So it's really, really, truly is just a made up category. But that being said, it doesn't fall into this beer. I would have a hard time saying this is a
IPA.
Yeah. It's not an IPA. And it has the color and some of the mouthfeel of a porter or some of the cream stouts.
Right.
But it's way too hoppy to fall into those categories.
It's so hoppy.
It's also too alcoholic.
It's almost peppery.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm liking it, and I think it's got, for me, it's got a good taste, good flavor, and I like it a lot.
I'm loving this. And again, for a made-up category, you know, you get to do what the hell you want, so why not?
Now, we have not had Moylan's in here before.
We've never tasted Moylan's or Brewskies, no. I have had one of their IPAs. They have a couple of them, and I was okay with it. I didn't love it. But I didn't hate it. I don't remember which one. There's the Hopsicle. I think that's the one I had.
I've had the Hopsicle.
And then there's an Imperial. Or maybe the Hopsicle's the Imperial. I forget. But anyhow, they have a couple. I've had at least one, and I was so-so on it. I like this. And the thing is, if you're going to go and create, you know, not like they necessarily created this made-up category,
but they're playing with the space.
Yeah.
Exploring the studio space.
They are. And
they showed up at game day, right?
And if you're going to do that, then go all out. You know, if there's a new category, go out there and try to define that category. And I think this is very admirable. I like this. I like how they go, and they're definitely pushing the boundaries everywhere, you know, from alcohol content to hoppiness to maltiness. I think this is a great beer. This is not a beer I would want to drink, like, all day. All night.
No, I don't think you can.
It's just too much oomph. But this is, you know, like we usually, I tell you, we do flights on, you know, on Fridays. And this would be one I could definitely see us including in the flight, depending on, you know, the weather. This is another one of those that I think probably would be a whole lot tastier when it got cooler.
Because
it doesn't have that refreshing, you know, that you often want from a beer. Because it is so, it's more of a filling. But this is a great, I'm liking it. It's a really great brew, and since it defies, it's in a category that's all by itself, really, they can do whatever the hell they want. I think they've done a great job.
1 to 10, 10
minus.
I've got
to give this a number. I am at a 7.0.
I'm right where I was last week. I'm at 8.5. Right.
Yeah. I'm waffling between, you know, so I'm going to probably go with an 8. Mm-hmm. I could go as high as 9, but... my one complaint is it's a little rough. You know, there's a little sharp, not rough, but sharpness, you know, which that could
that's
just
what be. That's what I, in my terminology, that's what I call the peppery, peppery feeling.
Yeah. Which, again, it probably works. This is definitely a beer that goes with food. It's kind of like that big Cab Sav that you don't drink all by itself because it just is overwhelming. This beer is almost that same sort of category. It's just overwhelming. But I'm like it, yeah, so I'm a solid 8.
What's our average?
Our average 8. Then would be a 7.
No, it's 8.
No, it's not 8.
You gave it a 7, right?
Yes.
8.5 and an 8.
It's a 7.56. If anyone on the internet there wants to do the math, you can have that.
Wouldn't that round off to 8?
No. We don't round off here. This is usual.
I will give repeating lines, but I don't give whole 6. I don't just
T-Bone is in charge of the numbers, and it's rules on that. T-Bone, what are you eating with this, man?
I am going to eat something that can stand up to it, which there aren't a lot of things that can, honestly. Yeah. This is a big, powerful beverage here.
You know, I'm
thinking I could grill a steak.
I was just going to say, you could do a prime rib. You could serve this. You could serve this right alongside.
I don't see any poultry going with this.
See, if probably I'm not. Yeah.
The prime rib thing falls back to your comment about the fact that the weather needs to be a little cooler.
And it, right.
I'm not eating up the whole damn house for some time.
All day long.
Yeah.
For a prime rib. No.
Damn it, it's already 100 degrees.
Yeah, tell me about it, man. I did a pork shoulder about 3 days ago, man.
Yeah.
For 3 hours on low heat. I was like, this is effed up, man.
Yeah.
This house is way too hot.
traditional, prime rib served with like Yorkshire pudding or a baked potato with the works. This is going to be your beer. Just go right along with that nicely.
A little bit better in October, which you just
October. You know, anytime. Actually, even September. Just not this part of
September.
The back side of September. I'm sure this would go just nicely.
Excellent. We're all good on that one, guys.
Yeah.
All right. There you have it. Another edition of Brewskies, sponsored by DrinksWineSpirits.com. That's Brewskies, sponsored by DrinksWineSpirits.com. Go there. Join the Beer of the Month Club, and you too can be tasting what we taste each week. Or click on the Brewskies tab right there on the right side of SwoopsWorld.com, and it'll take you right to where you need to be. Coming up here in a few minutes will be T-Bone's timeout. We're going to take another quick break. And if I can get... Hey, why don't you guys kibitz for a minute while I get this mouse back working here.
Yeah.
I'm really digging your shirt there.
Mark reminded us that today is New Year's, right? The Jewish New Year. It's Rosh Hashanah,
today,
right?
Today is Rosh Hashanah. Oh.
Yes.
So,
shout out to Karen, my girlfriend.
Happy New Year.
It's a big thing for her.
Not for you?
I'll take the fifth on that.
Although
I don't drink.
3,000 years of beautiful tradition. We'll have the same coat
back. This is a la mantra. This is called Move On. Back after this. I'm telling you this.
Stop
being Jewish. I know. We'll be right back.
you doing? This is Joe Walsh. I'm speaking on behalf of Rad. It's okay to rock and roll, right? But don't drive home drunk. If you're drunk, call me up. I have a limo. I'll come and get you.
I'll sleep all day. I'm alive. I know where you're going. I don't think that's...
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
I'm in the car next to you on the highway. I sit in front of you on the bus. I'm one out of every six Americans, and I'm struggling with hunger. This isn't an uncontrollable epidemic. There's enough food in this country to feed every hungry person. Please, visit feedingamerica.org today and find your local food bank. Every dollar you donate helps provide seven meals for those around you, quietly struggling with hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You might know me, I'm 50 Cent. You may follow my tweets, my Facebook friends. Odds are a few in 6 degrees separate us. We're that close. What's crazy is 1 in 6 don't know where their next meal is coming from. These are your coworkers, your neighbors, your friends. Hunger's too close for us to ignore. So visit feedingamerica.org/hunger and find your local food bank to see how you can make a difference. From one close friend to another, let's do this. I'm 50 Cent, and together we are Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The views and opinions expressed by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Talk Story Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
Hi, this is Barry Rolera. You're listening to Swoops World.
You know that sound? It's time for sports with T-Bone's Timeout. Or as we say it here, it's T-Bone's Timeout.
Not nearly as cool as my Stone t-shirt.
You are
but
live again. We got
well, hello!
Here we are. Welcome back to the show.
Here we are in studio.
Studio.
And it's another beautiful night in studio. It's a brisk 68 degrees in our climate-controlled soundproof
really?
confines here.
68 where?
Same place that it's soundproof.
Good one. You're quick tonight, man.
I'm not very quick tonight. I'm not going to lie. But last week we talked college football. That was the big selling point last week. There's not really a big selling point this week, other than the fact
Johnny
that
football.
Preseason football is over. Ooh. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. There are no more football games in the NFL that are completely make-believe. And that's a great thing, because preseason football blows dogs for quarters.
Yeah, you can. For quarters? Yeah. I was thinking about a nickel, man.
A nickel, huh?
Yeah.
They still make those?
Yeah. It's just not silver.
I don't think they were ever. I think they used to be nickel.
Excellent point. So
we can't even.
My statement is true.
We can't even afford to make them out of nickel.
They're still not making
anymore.
Silver nickels. I'm still correct.
Nailed it. Oh, my. Well, you know, the great thing for people who don't live in Denver and the surrounding area is that football starts on Thursday night. That's tomorrow for those of you who are in the Pacific time zone. People who live outside of that, that's today. I mean, if you live, you know, east of us. Not too far east, though, because then you start to be so far east that you're actually west of us. It's kind of a tricky thing there.
You're overthinking.
No, dude, the government overthought it. I didn't decide that one side was the prime meridian and the other side was the international dateline. That's not my problem. But anywho, the Broncos get to host the defending world champion Baltimore Ravens tomorrow. That game's on NBC for those of you that...
It's not going to be in London, is it?
No, it's not in London. It's in Denver.
I always thought that was dumb.
5:30 game.
It's a 5:30 Pacific
game.
Is
there only one game tomorrow or two?
Just one tomorrow.
There's two Monday night, though, right?
Two on Monday night. That's the way they've been doing it the last few years. The defending champion gets to play on Thursday night, and then there are two Monday night games the first week. So they do an East Coast game and a West Coast game on Monday night.
Man.
Well, yeah, but I mean, this is the nonsense football league, dude. There's a lot of other names that we could fill in there. But
some rim shots going on here.
The Broncos hosting the Ravens tomorrow night. Now, I know I talked a little bit about this last week, or at least I think I did. I might not have, because I imagine a lot of things in my brain when it's boiling at the temperature that we've been at for the last week. But because this is the NFL's opening game, and it's the big celebratory kickoff and all that hoodoo-doo, they've got these big banners all over the stadium and all around town in Denver. And the banners have Peyton Manning and Joe Flacco, like, squaring off against each other, getting ready to throw a pass. And the folks in Colorado are pissed about it.
Oh, really?
How dare you put that guy on our stadium and on our streets? Well, he won the freaking Super Bowl.
That's wild.
You're going to have to just suck it up.
Hey, I'm just surprised we still have kickoffs. I'm surprised we just don't start on the 20.
No, that's next year. Because the NFL realized that they got off way cheap and easy on this whole concussion settlement deal.
$725, is that what it is? $725 million?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, easy money. It comes out to, and granted, because they settled out of court, they still didn't have to open the books and show how much money they're actually making. But the estimates are that each team is going to have to pay something like 1.9% of their revenue towards the settlement this year. Now, if you don't know what we're talking about, the NFL has been embroiled in several legal controversies over the last couple of years with a lot of former players...
Actually, got AD to call in
an hour. Who have decided that they would like some money for the fact that back in the day, for one thing, back in the day, the pension plan sucked. It's still not very good it's still non-existent if you don't make it 4 years in the league. But back in the day, it was pretty much piss poor. And these dudes, a lot of these guys, especially back in the old days, were beating their brains in, sometimes playing both ways, and wasn't so much working out for their heads long term.
True.
true. But when we talked to AD about this, okay, now, right, he pointed. What was his response? He says, "We all knew the risk when we strapped on that helmet."
Mm-hmm.
So now it's like, to me, it's almost like people who are suing the tobacco companies today. If you don't know that smoking is hazardous to your health, you're an idiot.
Yeah, I mean, I agree.
Yeah.
This is another reason, though, that the NFL settled out of court.
But there was a lot of negligence going on.
Also. Oh, definitely. Because, here's one of the things. Trends. Big tobacco lawsuits back 15 and 20 years ago, there were a lot of aha and gotcha moments where they said, oh, we knew back in the 40s that this was going to give you cancer. But we kept it in our internal files, and the Surgeon General didn't come out with anything until 15 or 20 years later.
Right. And then we designed it to be a lot more addictive.
Yeah. Well, one other thing.
But
since then.
Since then, yeah, that's all.
Yeah, since then there's no excuse.
If you started smoking after 1977, 78, you know the risks. They've been on the packages. They stopped doing the commercials.
1963.
They stopped doing the commercials in the 70s, and they've had it on the packages for how long?
Since 1963.
Yeah, so I kind of find it hard for you to
But here's an interesting thing. You know all those commercials where they show like all these bodies dropping and dying, people dying from cigarette smoke. All those commercials are actually created and paid for by the tobacco industry. They're brilliant commercials against smoking, but they're done by the tobacco
industry. Well, that's industry. Because of the
part of the settlement.
Part of the settlement.
But they didn't have to go as far as they've gone. They've actually had a very good campaign against nicotine and cigarettes, and they're well done.
I think the tobacco company's paying for them. I don't think the tobacco companies are producing them. They're obligated to pay for
they're
them.
They're responsible.
They're obligated to pay for them. It's the nonprofits or whoever it is that produces commercials. My point being, like with the back to the concussion thing, I understand the settlement for guys who played way back when, but going forward, it's like AD said, he played in the late 70s and the early 80s. You knew the risks. You knew the risks. Realistically, when I played high school football, they were concussions.
That's the disturbing part about like the... I mean, because concussions are not something that is made up by the media. But the current
regime.
Well, the way that people are covering it today... They're acting like this is all brand new knowledge. And the problem with that, and the reason for it, is that most of the people in this country have never played football.
Right.
At anything beyond like 9 years old. I'm not saying shame on them, but if you don't know what you're talking about, keep your friggin' mouth shut.
But Steven, a lot of this has to do with the fact that trainers and coaches would, say, take a look at a player who got his eyes rattled in a hit or whatever and say, okay, here's a little smelling sauce, drink a little sip of water, and get back out there.
That's true.
Without any kind of, we should send him in, do an MRI, this guy was really shaking up,
now,
that kind of stuff.
Now, here's, there are, 1 in 6 million youth and high school football players die every year from concussions.
Right.
1 in 1 million teenagers dies every year from a freaking car accident. I mean, those stats are very much... thrown out off the cuff, but it's a similar proportion.
Right.
Way more kids kill themselves in a car every year than do playing football, and way more kids are going to drive cars for the rest of their lives than are going to play football for the rest of their lives.
Right.
So the danger of this, it's very real. It's out there, but statistically speaking, it's insignificant.
Right.
Well, but that's what we run with every time.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
The reason for the settlement is the culture of sending a player back out when he shouldn't.
Well, I don't know about that because I think that the reason for the settlement is because the NFL realized that if they had to go to court for it, they were probably going to win and not have to pay any actual money. The NFL was going to win this in court because of what we've already been talking about. The fact that these risks are pretty well known, they have been for many years. But the NFL was going to have to go through a lot of other things and air a lot of dirty laundry in the process.
A lot of books.
Yeah.
A lot of bad press.
And I think that the settlement is good for the players that need help right now. These guys are going to get paid within the next year. And there are guys out there who are severely hurting. There are guys who have legitimate medical problems. And I don't think that, of the thousands of former NFL players that are covered under this class action, they all have to actually file a claim individually to get any of that money. And I don't think all of them will, because a lot of them know that they don't need it. But a lot of them do, and those guys are going to get money. I think this, you know, this...
You like to deal. See the guys who are, especially the older guys, injured. Who are legitimately injured, and
like
they were...
Mike Webster's
and it
family.
Was, yeah, it was way before they were ever getting paid the big bucks, you know, and yet, you can look at guys like Dick Butkus. I mean, that guy made the league in some ways. I mean, you like people wanted to be him. He was awesome, you know, and...
Lester Hayes, man.
And, yeah, and the NFL... got rich on their back, and that's fine, because that's business. But at the same time, those guys suffered. You know, I don't know if these guys specifically are filing, but those kinds of guys, those kinds of players, and even if you weren't a big name, the league was built on those guys. They should definitely throw some bucks that way. I mean, I've always felt that
the guys who benefited
NFL was a little
Tony
chintzy
Dorsett.
There.
Tony Dorsett was one of those.
You know, here's the thing: when you talk about class action lawsuits, and I know this because I've seen it many a time, people will sign up for class action lawsuits because it's class action, and
all
you have to do is check those boxes. A lot of those people, at times, aren't really people in need. I do want to see the people who really need it get it.
Yeah,
there's probably a bunch of people on there that said. Sign me up.
But let's look at one other thing. What about Lyle Alzado's family? Now, he died probably from steroid use and getting his head kicked in a couple of times.
Lyle had a lot of issues. I met Lyle. A
lot of issues, right.
I met Lyle.
But I'm saying,
Lyle
but if you're his family, what do you do?
Well,
do you file? Do you
sure.
Are you part of
because
it?
Because it's open. I mean, but right. this is a big part of why
this lawsuit would have failed in court.
I mean, if this had gone to trial, the NFL would absolutely have won this lawsuit.
This is my issue with that, when you talk about stuff like that. See, I think Lyle actually died of cancer. Thing is...
Brain tumor.
Yeah,
it was a brain tumor.
Brain tumor,
tumor.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cancer.
Brain
yeah,
tumor.
Cancer.
The thing is when you could prove this is the cause and this is the reaction, I got no problem with it. When you're speculating and guessing and things like that, I don't know, man. I don't know if they should be allowed to jump on it. Like I said, I met Lyle a couple times, business related. You know what I mean? So I've seen Lyle. I saw Lyle at his best. I saw Lyle at his worst. And whether or not it's because of the impacts he took,
any one of those could cause
and the bottom line
his problems.
Is, yeah. Mm-hmm. If you could say all these hits are what cause a person to have a brain tumor, all these hits are what cause a person to suffer this, then I could see, hey, you know what? Work comp, take care of that, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
When you're just saying, hey, listen, my gait's not the greatest anymore or whatever, and you can't show that, if you're just speculating that correlation,
well,
throw him a couple bones, I find.
And, you know, I think that's what this settlement comes down to in the grand scheme of things is that because it is a big blanket class action, here's some money. This is the NFL paying not just the players, the former players, but paying out of the pockets of the current American football fan base to make this problem kind of go away.
Mm-hmm.
This is the fans paying not to have to examine, as the president put it a few months ago, not to have to examine their football conscience.
Right. About this doesn't it come out to something like $200,000 a player?
Less than that. It's like, if everybody who's eligible claims it, it's something like less than $200,000.
Which is a prime example of what I'm talking about. I knew a guy once who had MS, right? And they tested him and everything, and they determined, they were scientifically able to determine that his MS was caused by being in Vietnam and getting Agent Orange sprayed upon him, mm-hmm. right?
That makes sense.
So because of that, he was able to win this Agent Orange lawsuit. I have no problem with that. But lots of people get MS. And so if you were to say, hey, listen, I was in the Army or I was in the Marines, and I have MS, and they said, well, were you in combat where you got sprayed with Agent Orange? Does your MS show those same traits? Then I don't think you should be a part of that lawsuit. And that's the same thing I'm saying here.
I understand that there was some severe damage done, but it's a brutal sport. It's like a boxer.
Well,
you know,
you
take these certain risks. You take
sport.
Certain risks.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Ask Joe Namath.
And
all these guys with knee problems.
Yeah, definitely. In addition to what we just talked about, where you know, people are kind of trying to wash their hands of it, and the fans are trying to cleanse their conscience.
Well, and the other thing, too, is it's a big enough number for the NFL to say, look,
yeah,
we
paid $725 million.
It's a big enough number for them to go, we solved this problem.
Well,
it's good. Just put it away.
I agree with Swoop. They know what they're signing up for. Everybody over the age of 12 that plays football knows exactly what they're signing up for. That's the way I look at it. Boxing, football, hockey, anything where there's a concussions that happen, that's
usually. Well, and I think that, you know, what you talked about earlier with Dick Butkus and those other guys, these are the guys who built the NFL.
Yeah.
And the NFL was not a multi-billion dollar enterprise that was crapping money all over these guys 40 years ago. It wasn't.
No.
And these guys that built this monolith that just shits money, they didn't make any of that money. So, I mean, if anything...
I'd like to see those guys taken care of.
I think
that's
if anything,
how I feel about that.
This is recompensing that in that respect where they get a little bit of that scratch back because...
It's called taking care of your own, and they should do it.
They absolutely should.
And see, I think the NFL's dragged their feet on that.
I think in baseball... You get to be in the baseball almanac if you had one at bat.
Mm-hmm.
If you took one snap in professional football, they should take care of you, as far as I'm concerned. Because of everything that it took to get there, whatever you've done.
Well, it's not an accident that you have to play four seasons to get to qualify for the pension. And the average career is 2.7. Yeah.
Right.
So, I mean, that's not an accident.
But here's the thing, though. Is it really a career if you only play 2.7 years? I mean, you're still young enough to do...
A football career.
Well,
it's not an NFL.
But it's not something that should take care of
But
the
you
rest
played
of
four years in college or, you know...
No, but that's college
or high
school. That's amateur. Is it something that should take care of you for the rest of your life?
No, but I mean, I think it should give you something back.
Maybe some medical.
I mean...
You know, certainly some medical as far
it should
as...
Give you, it should give you some cachet at a bar.
I believe
that.
And the panties drop. Very nice. It's nice.
I believe if you were privileged enough to be able to play in a professional sport, that sport should find a way to at least honor you and take care of you in some way, especially if a sport where you're giving your body.
But that's the thing. I don't know about the pension, but you know, you do 2.5
but
years
you
and you know, your knees are shot.
But Peter, you want
maybe you should get some, you know, some sort of.
What if you do 2.5 years and you just washed up? For instance, our guy we talk about quite a bit. Because, you know, he was an SC guy, and he, you know, made a surfer and everything. Take Tom Marinovich. All right, what did he play, four years in the pros?
I don't know how many. Because he played some of them. Didn't he go to Canada for a little bit
there? Yeah, whatever. I mean, but should he be taken care of?
I don't think he should get a pension, for sure.
Right.
You know, but if he suffered concussions while playing for
the NFL. Well, if you get hurt, it's on the job. It's work
that's
comp.
That's all I'm saying.
Can I give you my reasoning why I believe that the NFL should take care of anybody that played one snap in a regular season game? You want to attract people to your sport and not lose them. You don't want to lose a potential kid to soccer or something where, you know, he may feel like he has a better chance to, you know, thrive professionally. Football, if they really want to keep the cream of the crop, make it more enticing to become a pro.
I think it's pretty friggin' enticing to
it
be
is.
A...
It is.
I have a hard time with that
argument.
I've
that's not
I've
so,
just,
but,
if
but right now...
Baseball went through that.
Yeah.
Baseball
lost a lot of African-American kids to football and to basketball, you know, because they... And then they started taking care of, you know, the building better, bigger communities and building...
I think that professional football in particular already offers such a false promise to so many kids out there.
All sports do.
Yeah, but...
But football especially.
Football in particular. It offers this idea that you can make it, and
well,
you can
but you gotta
hit it big and buy a house and all this.
But here's the thing about football. In baseball, there's minor leagues. There's several
there's
levels.
There's no money in minor leagues.
But you're still in professional, and you have a chance to go to the majors. In football, there's the practice squad in Canada.
Yeah.
And the indoor arena league.
So here's the other side of it, though.
Europe.
You know, you've got your 2.5 years in the NFL, and you're out, and you have time in your life to do something else. It's you're there and you're out, right?
Right.
For most of these people.
Right.
Whereas in baseball, you can get strung along in the minors for 10, 12 years.
But you
could be Crash Davis.
It used to be
and
that.
Make 30 grand. It's still that.
A few people here's are 10 years.
Here's the thing.
I went to high school with like four of them.
I mean,
but I went to high school with four of them.
But it's less than it was.
But it's a lot more than guys that even get a chance at the NFL. That's what I'm saying.
Plan minor league baseball. Really, there's. I don't see the comparison here because you're playing minor league baseball. You're really not making any money. You're playing for the love of the sport. You play a couple years in pro football. I think they all offer you or give you the belief that you're going to do all these great things. I think you have a better chance. Depending on sports, I mean, you have less of a chance being a pro basketball player just because of the roster they carry. You have less of a chance being a pro baseball player because of the roster they carry. They carry more on a roster on an NFL team, so I think that's why people think they have a lot of times people think they have a bigger shot at football.
Here's
bottom line is, though, where do you draw the line? I think having the NFL take care of you is one. There's things in place. If you get hurt on the job, there's workers' compensation.
Which is another reason why this lawsuit probably would have gotten thrown out before it ever got to trial.
Right.
Which is because this should have been in the labor realm rather
covered,
than in
you are covered for being hurt on the job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, Peter, you and I talked about this last week or the week before. We were both pretty good athletes back in our day.
And you too.
And we all knew by the time we were like 15 that we weren't going pro in shit. But we still played.
Yeah, that didn't stop you from playing.
And so
sure.
That's where I
sure.
I'm not trying to harp on your argument because I like it.
As a high school wrestler.
Yeah.
There's no future there.
There's no professional wrestling unless you're on serious roids.
Yeah.
And it's not the sport that you played before. But I don't think right now that American football has a problem enticing kids to play. I think that if the current hysteria about safety and injuries in the sport continues in the media for another 2 or 3 years, I think that we will see, you know, not quite the same crisis that Europe was having a few years ago in terms of population, but, you know, there will be a definite dip in the number of youth that play the sport. Now, there were always more kids that came out for the high school team any given year than that went and played Pop Warner the year before in eighth grade. And that's never going to change for the same reasons as smoking, which is that football, if it's perceived as something that's dangerous and a little bit countercultural and something that you know better than to do, it's going to attract people because people are friggin' reckless and they absolutely want to show that they have those destructive tendencies. The same reason that smoking is still cool for 19-year-olds, it's still cool to smoke for some stupid reason. Not as much as it was 30 years ago, but it's still there because that's just part of the human spirit is to say, oh yeah, that's bad for me, watch me do it anyway. And so I think that football is not going to die. Like the epitaphs that are being written about the game of football right now are...
No, it's going to be bigger than it ever was.
Yeah.
But watch over time what... Watch how the demographic of who plays football changes.
It's just sports in general. I mean, when you start talking about, I was reading something the other day, and I forgot this European soccer player's name, but some team just spent $129 million to acquire him in Europe. Okay, the biggest, I guess the most exciting and the most sought after and the most the biggest soccer player right now in Europe is Mario, not Batali, but whatever. But the bottom line is the kind of money that's being made in this sport. It's just like you'll see these sports. You're never gonna lose the attraction to the American sports like football and baseball and stuff like that. The demographics change. Yes. Why do they change? I think the reason they change is a lot of things. People get exposed to other things. A lot of people playing soccer now. A lot of kids grow up playing soccer now. When I was growing up, kids didn't play soccer. They played football. But when my kids grew up playing soccer, you see the kind of money that's being invested in soccer teams. You got the MLS. You see the money these guys are making. You look at golf. You look at the guys who play golf. You can play golf until you're going to the senior tour, you can play into your 70s per damn near, make some serious cash there.
That's ridiculous.
You know, tennis is the same way. I mean, you look at the money that's been made playing tennis. I think what happens is it opens up a lot of different opportunities for people, and when it gets introduced to different communities, it gives people an opportunity to play things they weren't playing before. So you do see different demographics gravitating toward different things. I think it's only because of the opportunities that come up and the kind of money that gets invested in a lot of these sports as time changes. But I don't see any changing in the amount of people that play football or the amount of people that play baseball. And I think that things, you know, when we talk about recruiting and where people go to recruit people, that has a lot to do with the demographic changes.
There you go.
Word.
Yeah.
Word to your brother, man.
Is it time to pick some football games?
We're going to talk about the upcoming schedule here. Let's see. We already mentioned, yeah, Snurdly, can you tell me who's playing on Thursday night? Oh, it's the Broncos and the Ravens. Okay. So on Thursday, if you have NBC or a friend who has NBC, you get to watch this game on the television. If you don't, then you can watch it on the interwebs anyway. It'll happen, trust me. Just use that Google thing. I hear it's pretty good at finding things you're looking for. But the defending champion Ravens will be playing at the Broncos on Thursday night. The Ravens have been trying to plug an awful lot of new pieces in since winning their second world championship. And what was the last... The Browns never won a Super Bowl. They won some NFL championships back in the 50s and 40s, 60s, maybe.
61.
When Jim Brown was playing, they won a championship.
Yeah. Jim Brown, right.
But the Browns never won a Super Bowl. The Ravens, they moved from Cleveland to Baltimore in, what, 96?
Yeah, they did.
Something
it
like that.
5 years. Three years.
And they won it in 2000. And then they just won it again this last year. The Ravens trying to defend their title. Joe Flacco and a bunch of no-names. It's not going to be a dream season and a title defense for the Ravens this year. And they're going to have a rude awakening. I think they know what's coming.
They may win their division, though.
They may.
Yeah, they got to find somebody.
But that division, is not what it was 3 years ago.
They did have the best... Come on. You know, let's say what you want about Ray Lewis. And I want a big Ray Lewis fan. But the guy had the best entry into a freaking football stadium that anybody's ever had. I mean, that guy's little pregame dance and
his hootie do.
Yeah, that was
some
spectacular
serious
stuff there,
yeah.
Man.
No, the guy's a showman for sure.
Yes, he was.
Ray Lewis, he's going to be missed in the game of football.
I like Denver.
Denver is going to be a very good team. I think they are a slam dunk to win the division again.
Yep. And they'll be better.
This will be the third year
Welker
in a row, I think, that they win the division. And Denver, you know, they're going to take all that wrath out for having to see Joe Flacco billboards and banners all over town. And I think that game is going to go the way of the horse in a good way, not a bad way. The rest of the games for the upcoming weekend, we start again Sunday morning out here on the West Coast with some East Coast games. The Patriots and the Bills, not a lot going on in the Patriots camp. You know, they've lost a few people to cuts and
signing
criminal stuff. The Bills, on the other hand, will be starting a rookie quarterback in E.J. Manuel out of Florida State. I still think the Bills are the Bills. Yeah, the Bills are still the Bills.
Kowski will be back soon, too, right?
He will be back soon. He won't be back this week, but he's practicing, but he's not going to play. And you know the classic Bill Belichick, well, he's hurt. We don't know how bad he's hurt. We don't know how long he'll be out. He's hurt. Questionable. The Bengals are going to play against the Bears
in
Chicago. And now the Bears, I think, had a very good preseason, which can tend to not be a good thing for your regular season. But considering that they have a coach whose last head coaching gig was in Canada, I think that things look pretty good for the Bears right now. The Bengals, you know, they were on Hard Knocks yet again this season. Mm-hmm. And for all of those shenanigans that go along with being on Hard Knocks...
And they just lost somebody for a drug, right?
Well, that's just... They look good in stripes.
I like the Bengals on Sunday in Chicago.
I think that the Bears are still a little... They're bobbing and weaving a little bit right now. I think, like I said, they had a good preseason, but
I like Dalton a lot.
He's a solid quarterback.
He's tough, too. He's tough in the pocket.
The Dolphins and the Browns going at it in Cleveland.
Slam dunk for Miami.
Yeah, the Browns... Every year you just want them to stop being the Browns, but unless Bernie Kosar and a whole bunch of other people come back, Jim Brown, I mean, they need a Browns all-star team to have any hope of being a playoff contender.
Bernie Kosar.
And that ain't happening. So the Dolphins, Ryan Tannehill and company, are going to go down, or up rather, to Cleveland.
Easy for Miami.
They're going to have a good time. The Vikings and the Lions, one of the few division matches this weekend.
That's a tough game.
That is a tough one because the Lions have had some hot and cold going on in this preseason. But I think that the Vikings have an interesting addition in Greg Jennings. I think that will pay off a little more when they get to play against Green Bay. But, I don't know, the Lions I still think are...
I think the Lions are a reinvented franchise
over the last two years.
Yes.
And I think that they have done what Cleveland has not been able to do, which is to sort of remember that they won a championship once upon a time.
The Lions could go 10-6.
It's been a long time, bro.
It has. They used to. The last time the Lions won a championship, I believe they were wearing gold helmets.
That was pre Barry Sanders, man.
That was like pre Super Bowl, I think.
I think Detroit holds on at home.
I think so as well. The Raiders going over to Indy to play the Colts.
That's my upset special. I love the Raiders. This one game.
I might be in the minority in this. Terrell Pryor is going to get the start for Oakland. And who the hell else plays for the Raiders right now?
Sebastian Janikowski.
Okay, that's cool. If he doesn't get a DUI on the way to the stadium, he's probably good for three from 50 plus.
As long as it gets
bailed
out before the game's in.
Yes.
If they get past the 50, they'll have 3 points.
It's either Indianapolis by 40 or the Raiders by 2. It's going to be one of those kind of games.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just see what
I'm
kind
a Raider fan.
I want to see what kind of defense the Raiders have. There's no way in hell the Raiders will win.
I'm curious to see if the Raiders have a pulse this year because.
So we.
I'm a Raider fan, man, but it's going to be a long year. I mean,
the Raiders have. Dennis Allen is coming back as the head coach, right?
Head coach? No.
Who's the coach for the Raiders now? Did they hire a new guy?
I don't think so.
I think he's back. I think they have the same head coach for a second year, which is incredible for them at this stage.
This could be
their one
shining moment of the year. I mean, to beat
if they win, if they win, I will play the song for you.
Yeah, they win. If they win, they win by one or two. They win it on a field goal or something late in the game.
Yes, Dennis Allen is still the head coach. He's like 15 years old.
I mean, if there was a chance for an upset,
still older than Lane Kiffin.
If there was a chance for the Raiders to give their Raider Nation a little bit of hope, it would be that first game of the year. This would be the upset game, I think.
We'll see what happens there. Also, at the same time, the Falcons taking on the Saints, one of the other divisional matchups here, the NFC South.
I love the Saints in this game.
I think that the Saints have, I mean, they've owned the Falcons in a lot of ways when the Falcons have even managed to be the most talented team in
the
division.
The Falcons could go
15-1,
and this could be their one loss.
It could very well be.
But I love New Orleans.
Matt Ryan... And all those guys he has at his disposal, they're nasty on both sides of the ball.
I'm picking the Falcons to win the division, but I'm picking New Orleans to win this game.
But I think New Orleans has a lot to show, a lot to play for this week. Coming back from all of the nonsense that happened last year, they get Sean Payton back. They get a whole
Is
bunch
Gonzalez
of...
Gonzalez back?
Tony came back for another season, I believe. He said he was going to retire. He said he was going to retire. Yeah. And then he said, "No, we were too good. We're on the lip of the cup." He wants to punch it in.
Croy's still there. I thought Croy was going to be leaving. Croy Bierman.
The Bucks and the Jets.
That's a blowout for Tampa Bay.
Yeah, the Jets are a mess. And Darrell Revis is going to sit there. He's been with the Bucks now for a hot minute, and he's just been telling them, "Here's how we do everything. Here's how the Jets do everything." And I think that Raheem Morris is a good enough coach.
He's a good
coach. I think he's a better coach than Rex Ryan.
Way better. Solid team.
But I think Rex Ryan is a blowhard, though. And they I think Tampa Bay's not going to win anything this year. But that whole Ryan family is interesting, though. They're interesting. Yeah, they that is true. Yeah, sure. But I think that the Bucks are going to go up there and beat the piss out of Jersey Beach.
Steelers are going to blow out Tennessee.
Well, the Steelers, I don't know what to think of the Steelers right now.
Yeah, they're going to run all over them.
I think that...
This game, I think Tennessee's terrible.
I think the Steelers are not very good this year, though.
Yeah, but it's a home game.
I know my roommate's listening, but...
Steelers by 3 touchdowns.
3 touchdowns?
Yeah. They're home.
Mark, 3 touchdowns.
3.
What's the next game? What's the next game?
So if you want props for your predictions that go well, I have to hold you accountable for the predictions that go to crap.
You can rag. But, but if they win by 2 touchdowns...
I'm going to give you hell.
Really?
You said 3 touchdowns. That's a bold prediction,
man.
Yeah,
they could win by 3. I'm just saying they're
going to... win.
3 or 3 touchdowns.
3 touchdowns. Yeah, 21 points.
There's no coulds. There's no
All I'm saying is three touchdowns is a bold statement. They better win by 4.
Seattle blows out Carolina.
Whoa. You're getting ahead of me here, man. If I'm not moving fast enough for you. All right. Well, I mean, I tend to agree with you that Seattle's going to knock the crap out of Carolina.
By the way, guys, what are the 3 top-selling jerseys in the NFL in order?
No idea.
It's very interesting. It's a very interesting answer.
I feel like grown men shouldn't buy jerseys. So.
But I'm just going to tell you. In order, Colin Kaepernick, Russell Wilson, and the other, who's the other rookie guy? I know the answer. I asked the question and I should know the answer. Yeah,
damn it, Bobby.
You have to write this stuff down.
Those two. Kaepernick and Wilson are 1-2, which was a big shock.
How many of those do you own?
I don't buy football jerseys.
Good. You should.
He buys Witt's shirts. That's right.
Yeah.
The Seahawks, I think, are the best team in the NFC West. And the Super Bowl losers are probably going to take umbrage at that statement, but they can suck it. The Chiefs and the Jaguars. Who do you pick? I guess the Chiefs.
Yeah, I'll go with
just
Chiefs.
Because Alex Smith has got to be better than whoever the hell the Jaguars are going to pick. Blaine Gabbert? I mean,
I always pick the Rams, so I'm just going to pick the Rams. They're at home.
I never picked the Rams, so...
Well, that's a battle of 2 crappy teams right there, so...
Who are they playing?
The Cardinals. Arizona. Those are the 2 teams that are going to occupy the other
side. They are who we thought they were!
Yes, yes. The biggest game, I think, of this entire weekend is right here. It's Packers-Niners. That's going to be on Fox at 1:25 Pacific time. The San Francisco 49ers... They beat the Packers back in January at home in the playoffs. These are 2 teams that have an awful lot of piss and vinegar built up because they both have tasted so much success recently, but, I mean, the Packers have won one recently. That's the trouble with this game coming in week 1. I mean, it's not a division game, so it doesn't have that much significance down the road, but... I it should be a fun one to watch.
I would think that'd be Niners
hold it home.
Just because of how many 49ers fans have popped up out of the middle of nowhere last year.
My nephew and my brother.
That's fun.
My brother's been a 49er fan forever, but I'm going.
The thing is that I still can't stand pop up Packer fans. Like I went to a school with a bunch of people from Wisconsin when I was a kid.
Wisconsin.
Oh. This was like 96, 97.
Oh, big cheese. Oh, man.
When the Broncos beat the Packers, it was the happiest day of my elementary school life. I came to school.
How'd you,
the next day was such a huge
elementary
dream.
School at 96, 97 in the same sentence, man?
You see, I'm a child. The Sunday night game, the Giants and the Cowboys, both these teams think they have a shot at that division.
Dallas is that teaser prom queen.
Well,
she just keeps, like, the beginning, you think you're going
to... Dallas, they have a college football mentality, where they think that because we spend more money than everyone else, we're going to be good by default.
They'll win this opening game, probably, and they're going to feel like, we're going to the Super Bowl!
I don't even think they're going to win on Sunday.
I
think that the Giants are going to win maybe 10 games. I think that that division belongs to Washington.
Except for Dallas, with the same career anywhere else, would Romo still have a job?
No.
Yeah.
What is that? He could be a career backup.
What is that all about?
He's good enough to be a career backup because when he goes in, they're not expecting anything. But
his numbers are really good, though.
No, his numbers are good. Yeah, he's like
his numbers are good.
But
you think you're going to get lucky with the teaser prom queen?
He's like the Nate Kading of quarterbacks.
Yeah,
I mean, best percentage in the league, but when it counts, does he hit it? No. So
sounds like a guy I know plays
which
in New
brings
York.
Us to my Super Bowl team from the NFC in the next game. Same team I picked last year.
Oh, that next game. Yes, the Eagles and the Redskins.
Because of the same list? Because
the Eagles and the Redskins playing the early game on Monday.
And I like the Redskins to win.
I do too. I think that the only thing that the Eagles have going for them is the element of surprise. And I think even that is
overrated.
They've got a new coach who is new to the NFL, and his offensive system that he ran for years in college is a much different deal than what teams see in the NFL.
Same
but he can't run
the backfield, man.
He can't run that system entirely, and it's not going to be Oregon 2.0.
And Texans went big, and nobody cares.
Well, the Texans will probably win, but I don't know if it's going to be a big win. I think that the Chargers are at least revamped enough to compete.
Can I give my seasonal picks on my way out the door?
Okay.
All right, so in the East, in the NFC, I like the Skins. North, I like Green Bay. I like the Falcons in the South. I like the 49ers, in the West.
What did you pick Green Bay?
No need for apologies.
I just think Green Bay.
Oh, you mean to win their division. Yeah.
And then I like the Pats because they always win that division. The Ravens probably will win that division. I think the Colts will win that division, and I think the Broncos are going to the Super Bowl to face the Skins. That's how I feel.
They've played in the Super Bowl before, haven't they?
1977, I think. Maybe.
Just so you
Joe
know,
Gibbs.
Just so you know, Mark.
When did
the moment you walk out of here, T-Bone's going to say he should stick to songwriting.
Yeah,
well, if I say it, I have to say it on the microphone. So
you can say it, but last year I said that Peyton Manning and RG3 were going to have big years. A year ago tonight, I came in.
Was this?
Yes, I came in the week before last year for this reason too, as I did this year. Swoop gave me the choice, and I said I'm coming in right before football season. So I like the same thing. I like RG3 to have a big year. He's going to throw a lot more than he did last year. And I think Peyton Manning, is Peyton Manning. He's back to him.
You think RG3 is going to be back full throttle? Or?
I do. And I think you're going to see him passing a lot more. I think you're not. I don't think you're going to see him have that many more designed run plays for him. Just once in a while. Not maybe half as many designed run plays.
Mm-hmm. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back in the middle. We're right in the middle of T-Bone's timeout. We'll take a quick break. Listen to some X-Scene from X. This is called The Virus. I'll be back after this.
All right, my brothers. I'm out of here.
Hang on a second, guys. Hang on a second.
Yeah. the song's called I Choose. I can see the stars tonight, closer than I ever could. They're just not lining up right, just like my life should. Something's wrong when something's always wrong. The sky can be clear, the sky can be blue, and I can sing a cheer, or I can sing the blues.
Is that a faucet running?
That's not a faucet. That's a river rushing through the forest. Forest rivers provide over 100 million people with clean water to drink.
What? I can't hear you because of the vacuum.
That's not a vacuum. That's the trees in the forest cleaning up the air we breathe.
I didn't know the trees were so amazing.
Yep, and the forest gives us shade, trees to climb.
That's awesome. Let's go explore some more.
Visit the forest today and enjoy all it does just for you. To learn more about the forest and find one near you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
You're so annoying.
You're so annoying.
Stop copying me.
Stop copying me.
Mom, tell her to stop copying me.
Mom, tell her to stop talking me.
Kids will spend 10 minutes copying everything their sibling says.
You're such a doofus.
You're such a doofus.
How about 2 minutes to brush their teeth? Brushing for 2 minutes now can save your child from severe tooth pain later. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. 2 minutes twice a day. They have the time.
Mom!
A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ad Council.
My name is Tom Thornton.
And my name is Cindy Thornton. We're retired, and this is how we live United.
We decided to volunteer with United Way at our community free health clinic.
United Way is how we contribute, because we know our time and money are going to the right places.
Judging by the thank yous we get at the clinic, I'd say we're doing the right thing with our retirement, too. We're Tom and Cindy Thornton. We volunteer at our community free health clinic. We don't just wear the shirt.
We live it.
Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
My name is Ruth Rusi, and this is how I live United. I read to children as part of United Way's education program. It helps them create links between language and literacy and prepares them for a better academic future. I figure I have the time and they have the need. My name is Ruth Rusi. I help kids prepare to succeed in school. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
The views and opinions expressed by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Talk Story Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
Hi, I'm Angelo Madsen, and I row across oceans, and I've really enjoyed being a guest here at Swoops World. Thanks for having me.
Angela Madsen. Welcome back to Swoops World on the Talk Star Radio Network. We'll be talking about a couple of good friends of Swoops World. Oh, man. How about Rowers?
It didn't work before, but now it's really not going to work.
Our good friend... you're killing me, man. Our good friend Jack Nunn from Rowworks, formerly Powerhouse Fitness, will take care of all your fitness needs here in Long Beach. If you want to get in shape, stay in shape, become a, you know, a superior athlete, an Olympic athlete, you name it. They have the people there to train you to be whatever you want to be. He's got indoor rowing, boot camp, personal training, and much, much more. Location at 5750 Boathouse Lane in Long Beach.
Dave says you're cut off.
Cut off?
Dave, you're cut off.
Okay, well, we'll keep rolling with it. We'll see what happens after that.
I think he's talking about drink.
Oh, I gotcha.
Dave.
All right, Dave. I gotcha, brother. 5750 Boathouse Lane, Long Beach. And you can get the website is www.rowrx.com. Give them a call, 562-688-1716. Let them know the Swoops World sent you. Your first week is free. SoCal Mobile Detailing and Spa, where Brandon Williams goes after the dirt for all your... you know, getting your car all tuned and cleaned and all that kind of good stuff. Exterior wash, interior wash, full detail, you name it, best prices in town, anywhere in Southern California. He will come to you. 310-997-5660 or 562-856-8121 or give him a call at so.calmds@gmail.com. T-Bone, tell us about color patterns.
So... those of you out there, those of you out there who have an iPad, you've got money to burn. You can spend an extra $1.99 and not even feel the pinch.
Not even feel the pinch.
And so if you've got that $1.99 to spend,
pinch free.
Especially on the uptake that the economy's taking these
days. Take that $1.99, that's right. You know, I hear we're not even in a soft patch anymore. We're just roaring on through.
Nice.
But take that $1.99, go to the App Store, and check out Color Patterns, brought to you by the same company that brings you Swoops World each and every week, twice a week, Talk Story Media. You can get Color Patterns for $1.99 in the App Store, and with it, you can explore the studio space.
I like that.
Whether it's climate-controlled, soundproofed, or whatever all else, you can get all these cool patterns that are already done for you. You don't have to do any drawing. All you got to do is fill in the blanks, color in the spaces, have a fun time with it. You can choose from a whole bunch of different colors. You can print them out. You can share them on the interwebs, all different places. You can make it into a postcard, send it to your friends in Australia or China or wherever the heck else you have friends. I mean, personally, all my friends are right here in the studio, so I don't actually have
join
to
join the
make
club, buddy.
But, you know, if that's sort of your deal, you can do it. So check it out, Color Patterns. It's in the App Store, brought to you by Talk Store Media, $1.99. Have a blast.
Excellent. Peter, tell us about Where to Bike Orange County.
Well, I actually found another copy here so I can hold this up and show you all. Where to Bike Orange County is part of a travel bike series, of which there are about 10 or so copies.
Something about that cover, it just makes me sad.
I know, right? Where to Bike Orange County covers, not surprisingly, Orange County. Covers the best 80 rides, 30 kids, 50 adult rides, every... geared towards the recreational cyclists, but they have everything from the very short 3-4 miler with lots of things to do to the 50-60 miler uphill both ways sort of ride. So something for everyone. Every route has an accurate map, ride log, a little description, places to stop, where to get food, all that type of thing. And it also comes with an app that is very useful from the map side of things. It ties in with Google Maps, so very useful. And you can get the book at your local bike shops in Orange County. And as we've mentioned before, both the Barnes & Nobles in Long Beach carry it, and of course you can always go to the big box store or the big guys online. If you go to Swoops World, there is a link, and we'll get a few more pennies that way.
Nice. T-Bone, you've done such a great job with the Color Patterns app that the Home Office has sent us some little treats there. We have some French macaroons.
Oh, and they're different colors.
There are three different types. One is the green one is the pistachio.
I've always had a problem with green food that's not vegetables.
Well, it just gives me
nervous. I'm like,
yeah, I'm just telling you, man.
Why is that green?
I'm just calling it out. Right. So we have the pistachio. The other one's a PB&J, and the other one is a Vietnamese coffee.
Awesome.
Looks like the PB&J. See? Okay, so these are the PB&J, these three.
Peter, I'll let you dole them out.
I already have one.
Dolomite.
We should all try a different one to start with.
Oh.
Or I'll do the same one.
I just touched
it. Oh, I'll taste the same ones.
All right, we'll dole the same one. There you go.
Which one am I looking for? This one?
So this is the PB&J, I'm pretty sure.
Ooh.
Unless I got them mixed up, but that looks like
PB&J. That looks like PB&J to me.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's good.
I like that.
And where did the Home Office get these from?
I knew you were going to ask me that. A place called Dolly Coffee Place. I'll get the actual place.
Wow.
Pretty good. I like that. Nice.
Go to Google.
The Home Office is moving up in my estimation here.
Way to go, Talk Story Media.
Woo!
Dolly's Delectables Coffee Bakery Cafe in Long Beach, located at 245 East Broadway. And that is Broadway and Long Beach Boulevard.
Huh. So I gotta wonder, was there a spike in app sales?
I don't know about all that.
Now you're just leading.
I don't know if it's enough to. I don't know, but I know that.
I'm gonna have the pistachio next.
Pistachio next,
because I want to finish with the coffee.
All right, and you want to continue T-Bone's time out during this, or you want to chew first, or how do you want to do this?
Yeah, chewing is cool.
I like the first one better.
Mm-hmm. A little
medicine-y.
Uh-huh. I've been a big pistachio fan. I love nuts.
You do like baklava.
I love baklava, but that's usually, well, it does sometimes have pistachio. It can be made lots of different ways, but I like the baklava best that has walnuts. Those are my favorite kind of baklava.
This one smells and tastes a little bit like new shoes.
I feel like thing. NyQuil here, man.
I don't know, man. I love me some NyQuil.
Smoking like a true addict.
Yeah. I see what you're saying there. Yeah.
Hi, T-Bone.
Not bad.
I haven't had to go there in a while.
Court ordered.
Yeah. And the green color, like I said, man, green color and pastries and bread. There's just one time when I was doing this catering event, and it wasn't my event, it was someone else's, but I was working it, and they brought in the special green bread.
Yeah, I'm not feeling that, man. Green beer, green bread, green.
I'm
with you on that.
I mean, I like that. So I'm making all these beautiful canapes, you know, like each one of these little, I've cut these green bread and all these special shapes, and I've put salmon on them, and they've, you know, smoked salmon, and it's got what's it got, like watercress and cucumber all cut special, and I'm like, I just can't get around when the tray was all done, and I had to do multiples of these trays. I was like, that just looks like a whole bunch of stuff that got left in the sun for too long, and now it's growing mold.
Listen, here's why I like my green. I like my green and my Lucky Charms. All right, that's about it.
Or again, green veggies, I'm all
green
down.
Green veggies, yeah. So this is the Vietnamese coffee here, right?
The
final.
Thank you.
And I like that. I like that a lot.
Uh-huh.
So first and third were my picks. I wasn't big on the pistachio.
Mm. Yeah, pass on that too.
Mm-hmm. Peanut butter and jelly. Vietnamese coffee, I think, is gonna be my best one here. I have this thing for coffee anyway, though.
Yeah.
Me too. It was 100 degrees today. I made a pot of coffee.
You listen to Swoops World on Talk Story Radio Network, as well as AM 1670 Dewberry Jam Community Radio. And we're right smack dab in the middle, or three quarters through, or so.
Maybe 5-6.
T-Bone's time out. Back to you, T-Bone. 5-6. 6-6-6-6-6.
So, college football happened last weekend.
How about Johnny Manziel? What's the story on this guy? What do you want to talk about, man?
What do you want to talk? You want to talk about Johnny?
What about Johnny and his behavior?
He got suspended for one half, so he had to sit out the first half of A&M's game against Rice. Now, after
as you described him last week, powerhouse Rice.
Powerhouse, yes. It turns out that A&M was slightly more powerful. Powerhouse. Johnny Manziel, sometime midway through the fourth quarter, after throwing another touchdown pass. He was having a lot of fun celebrating. He did some. He faked signing a ball and
the money. Yeah.
He did a full blown TO. And he got a taunting or unsportsmanlike penalty. And the coach said,
benched him, huh?
"You're out." And good for Kevin Sumlin on this one.
You have to.
Because, yeah, I mean, dude, if you got off as easy as you did. You take that and you smile and nod and say, "Thank you, sir."
You humbly move on.
Yeah, and he didn't.
No.
So yeah, he played for about 20 minutes on Saturday.
Listen, I'm all about a little showmanship, and I've been known to like the players that a lot of people have deemed to be assholes. But there's a time and a place, I think, and sometimes you gotta just. You know, like you said, you sat out the first half of the game. You skated. Most people think you skated. They had no proof. So maybe you legitimately got screwed because you had to sit out a half. Whatever you want to look at. But the bottom line is you're one man on a team in a team sport.
Yeah.
And when you start doing things and getting penalties and stuff like that,
especially in the middle of a game.
In the middle of a game.
We're not talking like he didn't do this. He didn't do this. Before the game, after the game. 2 weeks later, he's this
smack
behavior
dab in the middle of the game.
In the middle of the game, that's a distraction.
And the coach
has
to take charge.
Distraction to your team,
right? Exactly. And the coach has to take charge. Otherwise, other guys could think, well, you know, is he being treated special? I mean, he's already the quarterback. Quarterbacks are already treated special. They wear the different colored jersey. Can't touch him. All that kind of stuff. Captain of the team, all that kind of crap. But bottom line is he's got the coach has to be a leader at this point. And the coach did the right thing. A lot of people were complaining, "Hey, you shouldn't have benched him." You know, the coach did the right thing.
Yeah, I think you're right. Both of you guys are right. That's just a time and a place, and that just wasn't either.
Uh-uh. Hey, how about the last set of downs in the game of the BCS championship, and you're up by 42 points? Then you know you want to be a total ass, knock yourself out.
Yeah, have a blast. tough games for a few teams that weren't expecting them this weekend.
Yeah, about the Trojans. Technically, I don't care what the score said. They struggled against Hawaii.
Well, at least they put it away before the end of the game. You know, Nebraska struggled against Hawaii. They still got the W, but there were some teams that struggled and did not get the W against teams that they should not have struggled.
There were a couple of upsets there in the top 25.
There were a few upsets in the top 25. The biggest one would be Oregon State, who was ranked 25th, but they lost to Eastern Washington, who is an FCS school, who won. I think they won a national championship a couple years ago, but they didn't just lose. Well, they lost in overtime. South Florida lost to Jesus. Who did they lose to? They lost by 20 points to some 1AA school. I mean, that's brutal. Iowa lost to, who did they lose to? They lost to Northern Iowa. They lost to Northern Illinois. Iowa lost, yes. Iowa State lost to Northern Illinois. Kansas State lost to North Dakota State, who is the two-time defending FCS champion, by the way. So, I mean, these aren't like... You're playing against the worst team of the next division down.
Is it kind of like losing to Fresno State because they usually, they usually come out strong. Guys, you always think people are going to beat them and then they end up winning.
Maybe a smidge less talent than Fresno State, but better coached. But Oregon State, they should not have lost to Eastern Washington. That was probably the biggest shocker to me. Although Kansas State just won the Big 12 last year and was in the dang BCS. They were in the Fiesta Bowl last year. And here they are this year losing to North Dakota State. So I don't know.
Kansas State, the ones in the blue field?
No, that's Boise State. Kansas State are the purple pussies. Yeah. I know that's not your thing either, but.
You see it one time, you can't. Yeah, you cannot see that shit, man. It's over, buddy.
Oh, my God. This week, Alabama gets the week off as the number one. Oregon plays Virginia. San Diego State going to the horseshoe to play number three Ohio State.
Oh, God. Call 911. What's the number?
Well, I got this. Clemson, after a big win over Georgia, moves up to number four. And they play South Carolina State. Damn, I'm dying.
Should we talk amongst ourselves? Or you get some oxygen? I know he's on college football, but you guys never responded to my question earlier about what's the deal with Kemp, man? He's 0-for-18 in single A ball, man.
Kemp.
You think he's gonna be you gonna do anything? He's gonna come back or what?
I got nothing against Kemp, but I gotta tell you, I'm not a big Kemp fan in that the guy's had one spectacular season. And that's awesome. But Fred Lynn had one spectacular season. One rookie of the year and MVP. Yeah. And he had one spectacular season. And he wasn't a bad player.
Fred Lynn was a good player.
He was a good player, but he never had...
He was a really good player.
But he never had another season like that. And I sort of am looking at Kemp thinking he's that guy. He's that guy who had that one spectacular season. He's a five-tool guy. Everybody agrees he's got all the talent. Problem is, it's looking more and more, not a 10-cent head, but he's looking more and more like a guy who just gets caught up in his own thinking.
I think right now, I don't think... You have a good point there. I'm going to disagree with you on Fred Lynn. I think Fred Lynn had a lot of good years. But I'm going to agree with you on Kemp.
A lot of good years, but one great year.
One great year. And that's what I think Kemp's going to be.
Either Kemp is still hurt or he's overthinking a lot of crap. And you've said that before. That he overthinks a lot of stuff.
He overthinks. And he's like, I got to carry the team or I got to get there. And he just overthinks it. And as we know, we've all known guys who were good enough to play pro ball.
Yeah.
And some of those guys went on to play pro ball. And a lot of times the guys that didn't play pro ball wasn't because they didn't have the physical skills.
Mental.
They didn't have the mental skills. They couldn't forget fast enough. They couldn't learn fast enough. They couldn't adjust fast enough. The mental part of the game is big at that level. It's really big. It's one thing to have the physical skills. It's a whole other thing you gotta have both.
Well, you look at guys like Winfield or even Reggie Jackson. The guy go up, he might strike out four times in a row, but he's getting up there the fifth time, still swinging for the fences, man.
And he might bat .250 in the season.
Yeah.
And now he's in the World Series, and he's batting .310.
Exactly. When they're walking from home plate back to the dugout.
Yeah.
They've forgotten that.
You got it. And I think that's the problem with Kemp is he remembers too much. He tries too hard. He's clearly got the skills. There's no two ways about it. He's got the physical skills. I just think a mutual friend of ours, Larry, actually drove out to Rancho Cucamonga on a day that was 110 degrees. And he said he's totally healthy. He saw him run. He said there's no...
No physical thing.
No physical thing, and that's what everybody's saying. So if he's not,
but you see guys like this come
leather.
Off. You've seen guys come off of injuries like this. I say like this, not meaning his injury, but coming off injuries, especially in contact sports, or like basketball, where you got to push off to make a jump shot. You see guys coming off certain injuries, and they're tentative, or they're just missing. They're just clanking the rim. They're not,
and that could be part of it. Yeah. And maybe he'll get past that once he gets in enough at bats. But 0-18, and I think Grant Sirkuk is like, I think it's double A.
Single A ball.
Yeah. I mean, not that you should be crushing the ball.
He's basically playing against high school pitchers. Man.
There was a lot.
Single A ball is basically high school.
And there was
pitchers.
A lot of strikeouts, from what I heard.
Yeah,
not all of them.
He hit in a bunch of double plays too. I heard.
And that's again another thing, because double play, I mean, that's a mental thing. Like hit the ball behind. I don't know. So I like him. I hope he comes back. But somebody was asking me the other day, is like, who would you rather have? Because you know, Dodgers, if everyone's healthy, have too many outfielders.
Well, Ethier's looking good, man.
And that's what I said. Like, because last year...
I'm not even a Dodger fan. I know what's happening.
I know. Last year, they were talking about Ethier being the guy that they got to get rid of. And at that time, I was like, you don't get rid of him. Because he's Mr. Spectacular.
Though.
But if you look at his career, he's a 270, 280 hitter. He gets you 50,
decent fielder.
60. He's actually, as a right fielder, he's pretty good.
No, he's playing center now right now.
You know,
right?
He's playing center now because he's filling in. Yeah. But as a right fielder, he's really solid. He hasn't got the strongest arm, but a good arm. And thing is, he's a smart baseball player. And the other thing about him is I can't count the number of times I watched Ethier come to bat, the game on the line, two outs, runner on, and he's the guy. He doesn't hit the ball in the park.
That's my boy Bernie Williams used to be, man.
Yeah, he's the guy that gets that gap in the center, moves the runner to third, and then the next guy comes up, hits the sacrifice fly, and you just won.
Exactly,
you know,
man.
He's Mr.
That's what Bernie used to do, man.
Who would I rather have? Would I rather have one great year of Kemp and then 2 years? I mean, he's played less than half this year. He played less than half last year because of injuries. Which one? I'd rather be paying the money to Ethier and having him show up. Because I know what he's going to do.
When you talk about smart fielders, though, and then we'll get back to he looks like he's been resuscitated. So we get back to college ball. But when you talk about smart fielders, you see a guy who will run all the way to the wall, the ball bounce off the wall, then have to run back in. You see a smart guy will assess the situation and go, I can play this off the wall here and hit the cutoff man. And that's what you like to see.
That's what you want to see.
I don't need the fastest guy out there who's going to run all over the field and make all kinds of stupid decisions.
Right.
I want the smart guy out there
who
might be a step slower, but gets the job done.
And then there is the injury question. You know
right.
what I mean? Kemp is out. This is his third time on the DL just this year. He was on the DL twice last year. And anybody that's on the DL that often and isn't colliding with people.
There's
collisions you can't control.
Right.
But you're doing something wrong or you're just... I mean, I shouldn't say that. I mean, a lot of times, though, you're doing something wrong. You're not taking care of yourself. You're not doing the stretching. You're not doing something. Or you're just not built for 162 games.
Man.
I know, right? Or you're just not built for 162 games. And some guys are good. And we've seen that. We've seen guys who are great
at parts of the season.
But they can't do a whole season.
Right.
And maybe, I don't want to badmouth Kemp, but maybe he's that guy.
Well, coming from the chat room, Dave says if he was a decision maker, he'd sit Kemp down, sit Kemp out, tell him not to worry about the rest of the season unless one of the other outfielders gets hurt. And
he also talks about, Dave does about...
Eric Davis?
Yeah. And there, you know, another guy who's famous for this? Ken Griffey Jr. There was a guy
with all the talent in the world.
Reminds me a lot of Kemp as far as like all the talent in the world. I mean, they talked about him. They talked about him in his fifth year.
One of the purest hitters of baseball I've ever seen.
They talked about him as being the first legitimate player who could beat Hank Aaron's home runs, and he did end up with 600 something, I think, or very near.
He had a great career, but he was hurt a lot.
He was hurt a lot, and I'm wondering if Kemp's not that kind of player, you know. And if you're the owner, if you're the guy who's paying the bills, you know, Kemp, like I said, had the big year, hurt last year, hurt this year. The year before he had the big year, he was hurt that year too. He had, if I recall right, it was his wrist and hamstring. He's always had hamstring problems.
Always had hamstring.
And so, you know, you got to wonder if, I don't want to badmouth because when he's on, he's just spectacular.
And he's a decent human being.
Oh, he's a really nice guy.
Yeah,
I mean, some of these guys are jerks.
Yeah,
it's easy to,
that's the problem.
It's easy to badmouth.
Yeah, that's
he's
the problem with a guy
really
like
nice
that.
Guy.
It's kind of a problem with a guy like that. You want to see him succeed.
I mean, he's literally taking his shirt off his back and giving it to people
who
are less fortunate. Exactly. So I totally respect him. I just, you do have to wonder if he's not the guy who you send off in trade bait, because he does have that great reputation as being a spectacular hitter, and you live with the guys you have. I mean, you got Crawford, solid, as long as he's healthy. Puig, he's got his problems, but he'll grow into, I think, a really strong player. Really, and then Ethier.
We have covered for you long enough.
All right.
They came in. They said clear. They put the paddles together, and you're back. You're back. 100%. Clear.
the games that really stuck out in the schedule last week were Clemson versus Georgia, and Clemson triumphed at home in that game with a little help from some injuries to some Georgia players. Yeah. I can't remember the name of Georgia's main top returning receiver, but he hurt himself celebrating a touchdown that one of the guys scored for Georgia. So,
nice. That's one of the things you can't live that stuff down ever.
Yeah. Not as bad as, I guess, jumping on the home plate after you hit the game winner and breaking your ankle. Still, not so good.
Not quite that bad. There weren't a lot of big games last week, though. Not a lot of headliners. We already covered the teams that lost to teams they should not have. But this week, let's see here. The big games, we have two games between ranked opponents. We've got South Carolina and Georgia. That's an SEC matchup. And South Carolina kind of got to cruise against North Carolina last week. Georgia, on the other hand, 0-1 after losing to Clemson. That one's in Georgia. Between the hedges, I think that South Carolina is the better team, but home field advantage in the SEC can go a good ways. Got to get your fans good and liquored up and loud. And that's an afternoon game. So it's not a noon game, but it's, you know, it gives them a little time to drink. Another game that sticks out but is not a game between ranked teams is Florida and Miami. That's usually a good one. And I don't think Florida is all that good this year. They're ranked 12th, but they beat the Sisters of the Poor like 24-7. They have a defensive coordinator for a head coach in Will Muschamp, and I think they are far more concerned with how many points they don't give up than how many points they score.
What are your thoughts? I tend to like a lot of the defensive coordinators as head coach, but you do get that sometimes. You get guys who are...
Well, and you see it especially early in their tenure as head coaches. Yeah. I think that... Because, I mean... All right. Sorry for everybody who's tired of it, but Bo Pelini, who's the head coach at Nebraska, he was a defensive coordinator for years. And for his first 3 years as a head coach, their offense was terrible, and he was totally fine with it because
they weren't giving up any points.
We're going to make a nasty defense and beat you 10-3. But that's part of the maturation of a head football coach, is, you know, deciding to embrace all aspects of the game. Because defensive coordinators just hate offense by default, even if it's their own, which is kind of a funny thing. Because it's like, because when you're a defensive coordinator, every week in practice, your guys are going up against your number one offense, and you say, "Oh, screw him! Screw him!" You know,
hit that guy,
yeah. Shut him down.
It's a big jump in terms of the mentality it takes to be a defensive coordinator versus the mentality it takes to become a successful head coach, and you see guys that have navigated it more successfully than Pelini has. And I think Muschamp is... I mean, he's been groomed to be a head coach for several years now. He was supposed to be the head coach at Texas like 3 years ago. But Mack Brown decided, oh, I can't retire yet. So I think that it's a bumpy road because it's a sport that requires that aggression, that mentality that we can always go score one more time, especially in the current landscape in college football. But I think that Florida still has better athletes than Miami right now. Miami's still in a lull, and they're still waiting for the NCAA to give them some clue what they're going to do on their latest committee on infractions nonsense. So the other game between ranked teams this week is Notre Dame and Michigan, the last time they're going to play each other for the foreseeable future. They've played most of the last 40 years, and they're going to play in the Big House on Saturday night. That'll be on ESPN for those of you who have the cable or the satellites. And like I said, the last time they're going to play in the regular season for a good while, Notre Dame has decided that they don't have room in their schedule for Michigan anymore, which I don't personally care about. I don't really like either team, so.
I don't mind the Wolverines, man. You know, I mean, I'm not a big fan, but I like watching them play ball.
It was funny. I was reading a little bit about the background of this rivalry, and, you know, because it's a fairly recent rivalry in terms of college football. They started playing each other annually back in the late 70s. And it was because Michigan wanted a big non-conference schedule, a big non-conference game.
And which Notre Dame is good for.
They looked a lot of other places first, but couldn't get anybody to bite. And the athletic director at the time did not want Notre Dame to play at Michigan because, this is back in the 70s, he said, because all of our Catholic students would root for Notre Dame in our home stadium. We just can't have that.
Can't have that, man. Or so we have to install a touchdown Jesus at the other one end.
They playing Notre Dame for a couple decades, mostly because of that fact. So it's been a game that's produced some really good ones over the last few years. There's no Denard Robinson this year, so less explosive, less electric offensive stuff from Michigan, but more consistent, I think. I like the Wolverines at home in this game. I don't think Notre Dame is back to where they were last year.
Being an SC fan, I can never cheer for Notre Dame, regardless of who they play against.
Being a human being, it's pretty hard to root for Notre Dame. But, I mean, hey, whatever. I don't really, like I said, I don't really like the Wolverines, but I think they're the better team of these two, and I think it will show on Saturday.
Joe Montana did come out of Notre Dame, didn't he?
Yeah, and he started like one season, I think, at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
So
some good has come out of there.
Yeah. Yeah. You know.
Still can't cheer for them.
What if they're wearing the green jerseys, though?
I still can't cheer for them.
No, all right.
I will celebrate the hell out of a St. Patty's Day, but
amen.
I will not.
Yeah.
I will not cheer for Notre Dame.
I'm right there with you. Although I kind of cheered for him against Alabama very briefly.
Yeah.
In the championship game.
I've dipped in the Irish waters every few.
That was definitely easy to do.
Yeah. The rest of the games this weekend suck. I'm not gonna lie. So, if you like college football, you'll watch it anyway. If you don't, then you won't.
Very
and
profound.
That's about all I can tell you about college football this weekend. We already talked Dodgers. The rest of baseball, I mean, the Angels, they're out of it.
So you know, I'm so fed up with the Angels because, once again, they're dicking around with their name again.
Yeah.
Okay, first of all, they were the California Angels. Then
before that, they were the Los Angeles.
They were the
Angels.
Los Angeles Angels before
then
that.
Then
when
they
moved to Anaheim, they became the California Angels,
right.
And then they became the Anaheim Angels, right?
Which
we can all live with. But then they wanted to be called the Los Angeles Angels
of Anaheim. Yeah.
Now they just want to be called the Los Angeles Angels.
The Los Angeles Angels.
Screw
Los
them.
Angeles, Angeles.
They're the Angels. They're the Anaheim Angels.
Well, then,
or the California.
And then
Angels.
You see that the. The lease for the stadium's coming up, and they're
right.
talking. And Marino is using. He's basically saying,
"Well, he can build his own stadium."
Right. That's what he's basically saying. I can build my own stadium
wherever I want.
Wherever I want,
and call my team
so
what I want.
Either I can call them whatever I want here, or I can call them whatever I want over there. Do you want me here?
You know what Anaheim should say? Call them whatever you want there, because
yeah,
we still have our mighty duck. Damn it!
Yeah. I don't know. I just think it's kind of crappy. I mean,
it is crappy.
Yeah, it's
because
I mean,
you know what? Anaheim's been
gross.
Good to the damn Angels.
They have.
I think it leaves everybody in the whole arrangement feeling just dirty.
Yeah.
Ugh.
You know,
this is what has to be done, but really, is this what has to be done?
So yeah, I don't know. Just it's you always hate to see when a team does that. Because as you said, Swoop. Anaheim has been good. I mean, they built the stadium. They've renovated it. They've worked with the team.
Yeah, we've known people who've been employed there, who've, and they, you know, for a lot of years, over the years, you know what I mean? Not necessarily been employed for a lot of years, but we know people that have been employed there over the years.
Yeah.
And that stadium and that community and that city have done a lot of good, and I think old Gene Autry is doing somersaults in his grave these days.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, I don't know.
He's
trying
to go, who's this damn Marino? Kind of cowboy is he?
Yeah. Talk more about it when we get off the air.
Pigskin picks, or are you still winding
you
up?
You got pigskin picks for us?
I sent him an email, man.
Oh, man.
You got to open your email.
This week was not a good week for me on the email.
I just had it open. Yeah, you're absolutely right, Dave. As Tommy Lasorda, the great Tommy Lasorda said, and not the greatest thing he ever said is Kurt Bavakwa couldn't hit water if he fell out of a frickin' boat, and then Bavakwa knocks them out of the playoffs. But the second best thing he ever said was, the only team in Los Angeles, there's only one team in Los Angeles, you know, and that's the Dodgers. I agree. Yes. Such disrespect for Anaheim. Okay, we are due for our pigskin picks. You ready there, Bone?
I am ready.
I got to write this crap down. You know, I need a scribe, man. Okay, in the NCAA.
Our budget does not...
Unless
she's sitting over there talkless, then we might be able to come up with some puns.
All right, let me write this down. so as not to get chastised later on in the season.
You got chastised because you lost it.
Yeah. I did. Well, you know,
you earned that one.
Technical, I did.
Technical difficulties. Yeah.
Okay, in the NCAA game number one. T-Bone is Sac State versus Arizona State.
You want me to tell you my pick right now?
Well, we'll start with you and we'll work our way through.
All right. I've got ASU with that one.
ASU for Bone. Peter?
ASU as well.
ASU all the way around. I got ASU too. The number two NCAA game is number 14 Notre Dame and number 17 Michigan.
Do you want me to go?
Yeah.
I want to say Michigan because my dad's side of family, always, that's where they're from. They was
of course they refused ever to go back. But
well, yeah, that's what they cheered for in the Rose Bowl and all that. But I just have I feel like Notre Dame's going to win. So
you going ND?
Yeah.
T-Bone?
I got Michigan in that one.
And I just on principle, as I once said previously about a minute and a half ago, I will never ever select Notre Dame for anything, so I'm going with Michigan. Arizona at UNLV, and you know, I know this is probably a bad choice, but I'm going to go with UNLV.
It's you next.
I've got Arizona there.
Yeah, that's where I'm going to.
All right, those are our three NCAA games in the NFL. Game one, Baltimore at Denver. That's me?
No, you just went.
You went first, I went second.
UNLV. You picked UNLV first, so it's okay. T-Bone now. And then me.
Yeah, that's right.
I've got Denver in that one.
Denver?
Yeah. Ooh, that's a tough one. Yeah, at home, I'm going to go with Denver as well.
Denver all the way around again. Green Bay at San Fran. Peter.
I think Green Bay is going to pull that one off.
Bone.
Give me the Niners.
And I'm going.
I think you were right in your analysis. I think that's going to be a good game. I think it's. Uh-huh. I think it'll go right down to the end.
I'm going with Green Bay. Philly at Washington.
That's you. You're first.
I'm going to go with Washington.
Yeah, I think that's
across the board.
Okay, so to read things back.
I want a junior bacon cheeseburger.
They never read back anymore. That's what pisses me off. They'll give you your total at the window.
You got to go in and out. They're good at that.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. The first game, we all picked ASU. Mm-hmm. The second game, I picked Michigan. Peter picked Notre Dame. Bone, you picked Michigan. Game three, I picked UNLV. You two both pulled Arizona.
Yeah.
NFL, all three across picked Denver. The second game, I picked Green Bay, Peter picked Green Bay, and T-Bone, you picked San Francisco. And the third game, we all went with Washington.
That That sounds great. Agreed.
I like it. All right. T-Bone, are you, where are you at here?
You're not going to cover
where I am right here.
Some coffee news?
No.
No?
All right, Dave.
let's see. Where are we at here?
Just for the record, Dave's got Denver for 12.
Denver for 12, huh?
By 12, I should say.
By 12. There you have it. Another edition of T-Bone's Shana. You listen to the Swoops World on the Talkstar Radio Network, as well as AM 1670 Dewberry Jam Community Radio out of San Antonio, Texas. We're going to take a quick break. Listen to Delaney Simpson. This is called Pathetic Girl, and be back after this.
You've got me thinking, what's the reason for dealing with the pain I'm in? What's the reason? Look before you leap, they say. I wouldn't listen. Stranger in the mirror, don't wanna see her again. I'm just a pathetic girl, running from the world. Look up at the sky, you'll see no light. I'm just a pathetic girl, leave behind this world. Look into my eyes, you'll see no light. I've been wondering how to make it happen. Escape from the life I live, how to make it happen. Crying's not a shame, they said. I don't believe them. Twisted thoughts in my head, that's where I'll keep them. I'm just a pathetic girl, running from the world. Look up at the sky, you'll see no light. I'm just a pathetic girl, leave behind this world. Look into my eyes, you'll see no light. You'll see no light. I'm just a pathetic girl, leave behind this world. Look into my eyes, you'll see no light. Look into my eyes, you'll see no light.
The views and opinions expressed by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Talk Story Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
This is Mean and Nasty, and I'm a Virgo.
Yo, LJ.
Gemini.
You're listening to Swoops World Radio. Get with it, or get lost.
Very lost.
Swoops World.
we in here. That mean sit next to me. So this is how we do it. Listen. Okay, vibe with me as I speak. You witnessing the legend. Black J, we reppin' 102 DIY to the depth. Ain't no crutches on me.
We're live back on Swoops World late night right here in the Talk Story Radio Network, as well as AM 1670 Dewberry Jam Community Radio out of San Antonio, Texas. Right here is Studio B, which is the warmer of the two, I believe, but it's actually cooled off a little
cooled
bit.
Cooled off nicely now.
We are about to wrap things up. We have one, we have time for just one. Didn't Peter G have one?
Oh, I had something up here. Yeah, this is you know. I kind of sympathize with this guy here.
Oh, this one sucks. The same one.
Oh, yeah.
That was my Kendo joke.
Yeah. So this is from newleader.com. Not quite sure what or where that is, but they report news, and they reported that the police say a pal used sword in assault. Report says man injured his friend with samurai weapon after finding him with his girlfriend. I'm already sympathetic to this guy's cause. Please say Springfield man. There's Springfield right there, right?
Simpsons.
Is
that Homer?
Homer. A couple years, this could be Homer.
It's like, don't.
Please say a Springfield man found his friend
banging Marge
and girlfriend having sex at his apartment. Then he attacked the friend with the samurai sword. Adam I. Howland, 36, told police he got home Tuesday night and heard something in his bedroom where he found his friend and girlfriend. Howland said he started assaulting the man by punching him several times. Howland described himself as fighting like an MMA fighter. With a samurai sword. They use that in MMA, don't they? Howland told police he knocked a man unconscious at one point and that there was blood everywhere. See, I think this guy's making a whole bunch of mistakes because usually when you get in trouble, isn't your best bet to just be quiet, right?
Yeah.
You don't offer up a whole bunch of, but apparently this guy was offering up a whole bunch of information.
Well, but the story gets more twisted.
Yeah. Howland told police he knocked a man unconscious at one point and that there was blood everywhere. I think I said that already. Police had spoken to the alleged victim at Mercy Hospital before visiting Howland. The man had several serious lacerations on his body and told police Howland had attacked him with some type of machete. Okay, now. So you're going to cheat on some guy in that guy's house.
Yeah.
You know which weapons are going to be around, so you know what you might have to deal with, right? When police asked Howland about the cuts, he said he'd used the sword to strike the man. Howland said the sword was bent from hitting the man, and he was shocked that he'd cut him so deeply.
Yeah,
he's shocked. Yeah, he's shocked,
all right. I'm shocked I didn't go all the way through that son of a bitch.
That arm's still attached. Howland said he could see the man's muscles from cutting him. Police spoke with the friend while he was being treated at the hospital for a punctured lung. The man told police, Howland told him he could have sexual intercourse with his girlfriend, and that Howland flipped out when he found them together.
Oh, so he was
something giver.
Yeah, Grant.
Am I allowed to say that one on the air?
Yeah, the girlfriend told police she could not remember if she'd had sex with Howland's friend.
What?
Or if the two men had been in a fight because she had passed out due to her intoxication. Something tells me there's a bit more to this story than we're getting.
A bit more to the story.
Police responded to a domestic disturbance at the home earlier in the evening.
Uh-huh.
According to an incident report, Howland had called police, and he and his girlfriend agreed to separate from one another with no further arguments. Obviously, that didn't work out.
Yeah.
Howland was charged Wednesday with first-degree assault and armed criminal action.
So,
you know, there you have it. You know. This is Ozarks news. So this, I'm guessing, you know, Ozarks, right? This is,
yeah.
Who knows, right?
All I can say, and I say this in all sincerity, that those of you who think you might want to act up at the Peter compound, he's a kendo expert, and the swinging a samurai sword is second nature to the man sitting to my left here. So. Although I don't think you'd be able to crawl in bed with the missus, but if you did anything stupid, just be forewarned.
Yeah, man. Know how to use that thing.
No joke. Hey, last Friday night, I appeared on the Swoops World Radio team's behalf at the Talking Stick in Venice for the Ramakage event. It was a great time. God, you know what? I'm really going to drop some names here, drop them from memory, but I wanted to throw props. They had a really good lineup. Paul McCartney was there. He sang some songs. And I don't know if it's just you or me, but every time I see Paul, he's being escorted by somebody new. That's all I'm going to say. there was a woman there, a young girl there who recently graduated from high school. Was outstanding. Apparently she'd been on American Idol. Another band there that was really good called Number 9. Ramakage was outstanding. Great time, great event, and props to those that were there. Thank you, Ramakage, for inviting Swoops World to come along, and we broadcasted live. I still got to get into the archives. I had to do a little bit of editing for a couple covers that were played, but we're getting that taken care of. That'll be up sometime this week. Next week, when Swoops World Late Night, we really don't have a guest schedule right now, so probably the three of us, unless we get some last-minute guests. We might invite AD on to talk about the NFL. What's your weekend look like, brother?
I'm going to head down to the great 760, watch some foosball with some family and some friends.
Cool.
And maybe I'll just go to Mexico from there. I don't know.
Hope to see you again.
Starting to think that this whole working for a living thing is what I'm
overrated. Huh? Yeah.
Well, you know what? Get a burner phone and you can call in your T-Bone
Style. Yeah.
All I need
is a SIM card.
How about you, brother?
Well, I don't know if I mentioned it on the air or not, but this weekend is my daughter's first soccer game.
Woo!
And I am the coach. So
what are they called this year?
We are the Unicorns.
Oh, yeah. You're not the Pink Ladybugs or whatever.
Last year we were the, what were we? The, oh, shoot, I forget. One year we were the Pink Ponies. One year we were the Superstar Mermaids. I forget all the different names we've had. We have some good ones. But to this year we're the Unicorns, which worked out because we ended up with white uniforms.
Nice.
Which we didn't pick. I mean, they just randomly assigned those. So we're the Unicorns. And so I'm going to be coaching 7 or 8-year-olds. Actually, I do have a 6-year-old on the team. At a 3 o'clock Saturday game. So that should just be a hoot. In this heat, these little girls, you see them, they melt.
They melt.
They just melt.
I'm melting.
And so anyhow, we'll see how the team is all put together. So it should be interesting. It's never dull, that's for sure.
Never a dull moment.
Well, but there are times you're just done. You're just like, why do I even open my mouth? I should just like babysit and supervise for an hour because they don't pay any attention half the time.
Thanks a lot, Dave. We want to give a shout out to everybody who tuned in tonight. Those of you who listen to us on TalkStream Live, we appreciate the tune in there. And those of you that are in the chat room, we had, of course, Paradigm Dave from Paradise Shift Radio. Dave was in there, and always a good time with Dave there. I want to thank Mark Platt for joining us again, as always. And those of you listening in all the other ways, listen to Swoops World, all the different Swoops World apps for the Android and iPhone and such. And that's about wrapping it up, man. I got no big plans for the weekend. Probably, I don't know. I'm going to go for a little bike ride.
Just come on out and cheer the Unicorns.
I might. You know what? I am going to be on this side of town towards the afternoon. Where do you guys play your games at?
We're at Hartwell this year.
Oh, moving on up.
Yeah.
Like the Jeffersons, man.
That's right.
I might have to do that because one of my favorite little girls is playing on the Unicorns, so I'll have to go check that out. Hey, I want to thank everybody for tuning in, and we'll see you again next week. No prime time tomorrow. Peter and I have other things we have to take care of, so no prime time tomorrow, but we'll be back Swoops World late night next week right here at SwoopsWorld.com on the Talkstar Radio Network and AM 1670 Dewberry Jumping Radio. Good night, all.
Good night.
The views and opinions expressed by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Talk Story Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.